Listen, Martin, I don't have time for this.
Okay, I'm gonna explain this very quickly so that I don't hold you up. Yes, it's exactly what you think. Just like you killed a member of my family, now you gotta kill a member of your family to balance things out, understand? I can't tell you who to kill, of course, that's for you to decide, but if you don't do it, they will all get sick and die. Bob will die, Kim will die, your wife will die. They will all get sick and die. One, paralysis of the limbs. Two, refusal of food to the point of starvation. Three, bleeding from the eyes. Four, death. One, two, three, four. Don't worry, you won't get sick, you just gotta stay calm, that's all. There, I said it as quickly as I could. I hope I haven't kept you too long. One more thing. I'll be very quick. You only have a few days to decide who to kill. When stage three kicks in, you remember what stage three is? Is bleeding from the eyes. That's stage three. Once the bleeding happens, it's only a matter of hours before they die. Okay, there. I have nothing more to say. Unless you've any questions.
Hello, club members. I'm Kate.
I'm Ariana.
And welcome to another creeptastic meeting of the Nightlight Horror Movie Club.
Creeptastic? Really?
It's getting creepy in here. It smells creepy. It feels creepy. Because we got another movie where Barry Keoghan is being a creepy little guy. This is number two in our series of Barry Keoghan being a creepy little guy. And I can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
He really has the same character in almost all of his movies.
Someone give this man a rom-com, like, honestly.
Oh, yes.
He would crush it. But yeah, he got typecast in a way that I don't have a problem with, in a way I'm happy with, which is
oh my God, yeah.
Just an unsettling.
I'm not mad at all.
Irish-eyed.
Yeah.
Lad.
He has a very, like, very distinct face where he could either look like really, really cute and innocent and young or like psychopath evil.
Yeah, he can be both, too.
He can be both.
He's like, which one do you want? Just tell me. I'll turn it on.
He's like, you want both? I got you.
No problem. Just write the movie Saltburn and I will be there.
Yeah.
So like, just to be absolutely fucking clear, guys, because I know when I was talking about Saltburn, I was pretty hot and heavy for my guy, Barry Keoghan. Okay. Not this one. Not the one in The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, really? Why not?
Ew, Ariana. No.
Why not? He's the same guy.
Him eating spaghetti? Are you joking right now?
Okay.
Whenever I think of this movie, and I watched this when it came out, I think of Barry Keoghan like slurping down spaghetti. And it's just the worst thing ever. It's not hot. And somehow Saltburn happened and I like forgave that vision and it's fine. But I was humbled. I was brought back to my Barry roots for this movie.
Interesting.
And it was gross.
Interesting. I guess also he's meant to play a 16-year-old and he's acting like really like young and dorky, but like he's actually 25 in this movie. So it's okay if you're attracted to him,
Kate. Yeah. I'm not. It's okay. No, it's fine.
It's okay to admit it.
Ariana's like, just tell the club that.
Just tell them.
You paused the spaghetti scene. We know you did. I was there. Nah, not this one. This one is a concern. So, guys, I hope you're ready because today we're going to talk about The Killing of a Sacred Deer. If that's a weird sounding name to you, well, it's a weird fucking movie. So that makes sense.
I'm so excited.
And Ariana just can't even handle it.
Listen,
she can't wait. Ariana, just tell them.
Oh,
just tell
God.
Them why you're so excited about this movie.
People have been recommending this movie for us, but specifically for my benefit,
for
I feel
you.
Like. For years, months. It's, oh my God, it's everything I need in a movie. I don't give a shit. I'm going to freaking tell you minute two into this podcast, this movie is my shit. I
you
just don't know how
do
Kate
that.
Feels about it. I have a feeling she likes it because she does like...
I love the turns of tables.
She does. She likes complex, spooky shit as much as she acts like she doesn't.
Do I
She
know?
Likes it. She likes it.
I'm not
it.
A Lars von Trier queen like you, okay?
That's fair. I'm
over here steeping in the 80s with my vampires and my werewolves.
I know you love Greek mythology, though, Kate. I know it. You're a nerd like me.
What? Can we just tell them the story at least? Because, like, if you're, I want to, because we're going to talk about the plot of the movie, obviously, but honestly, it's more fun if you know what it means and, like, why it's called the killing of a sacred deer and, like, the whole, the Greek mythology of it all.
Oh, but I want to tell everyone this story at the end.
No, I think it's more fun if you tell them now.
No.
Okay, I won't. I'll let you decide. For me, this was a movie that was more fun on rewatch because I had kind of like figured it out and like done my Googling.
Right.
Yeah, I got a little cocky with Ariana. I did say like, bitch, of course I know the Greek mythology behind this. I did have to look it up. But that was, I watched this movie like a long time ago.
Wait, let me ask you this. Did you figure it out before you looked it up and you were like, okay, this is that story? Or did you have enough evidence to be like, this is a story I remember from Greek mythology?
It was both. So whenever I was homeschooled, my mom, guys, I was homeschooled for a year, like, don't judge me. And essentially all we did was what my mom wanted to teach me, which was like literature and Greek mythology and paintings.
Amazing. So
we learned like all of the cool stories, like all the fun ones. And this was always a really fun story in Greek mythology. I'm not going to tell you which one it is because I'm not allowed to, apparently. But it's a good one. It's a good story. And this is loosely based off of that story in Greek mythology. So I did, it was ringing a bell in my head. And like, honestly, like the name is very provocative.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you picked up on it before Google was like, this is what this is.
This clearly is a very symbolic movie.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Everything is just like symbolism. It's like not subtle about it. So honestly, for me to get the most out of it is to understand the story. So like, I really enjoyed it on first watch, but like, I didn't quite understand what was happening. And then I kind of like, I was like, wait, and like did my research. And then on second watch, I was like, dope. Like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I watched it. And then like 10 minutes after I watched it, I was like getting ready for bed, like brushing my teeth. And all of a sudden I just stopped and looked at Will and I was like, oh my God, it's this, this, and this. He's this one and she's that one. And oh my God. And he's just staring at me like, what are you talking
about? Yeah. So I didn't do that.
It just like clicked. I was like, ah.
I'm not like you that has this like Jimmy Neutron moment with Greek mythology. Like, I'm just like, I kind of remember that. That was a thing, right? With this thing,
bro,
probably on a boat somewhere.
This movie is awesome. I love, you know how I love a movie that like spoon feeds you shit, but also like they're like, you said it's loosely based on that. It's hella based on this Greek mythology.
Well, sure.
Like,
of course.
It's insane. It's like shot for shot, this Greek myth.
Okay.
And then they literally say the name of the Greek myth in the movie and the title is from the Greek myth. So it's like,
yeah,
holy fuck. Like, it's,
yeah,
insane.
It's not trying to hide it from you. It just like
not
rewards you if you're paying attention. If you know what that is, then you're gonna have a great time. And if you don't know what it is, you're still probably gonna have a good time. You're gonna be more confused, but you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, it's a very disorienting movie. I mean, it's A24, you know, we're all expecting that. Like, don't watch an A24 movie if you're not expecting to be like, what the literal fuck am I watching?
Absolutely. Like, you knew what you were signing up for.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though it's like 2017 A24, you know what I mean? You're like, eh.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The cast is looking good, though, and no one's heard of this movie. So I have a feeling that this is going to be good.
That's true. I'm feeling like A24 is kind of like a little bit reusing the same characters. Like, they're turning into like a little Mike Flanagan moment. Like, Nicole Kidman, Barry Keoghan, both were in The Green Knight. Oh, wait, no. Barry Keoghan was in The Green Knight and then Nicole Kidman was in The Northman, which I think was also A24.
So, like, do you know a little bit about, like, the director of this movie? Because he's involved in some movies that I think you know and like and have similar actors.
Wait, tell me. I don't look into that stuff. Tell me things.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, you know what? First, let's go into genre.
Okay.
Film genre.
Okay.
All right, so I have a cute one, a realistic one, and a fun one, all right?
Amazing, because my genre, it's so hard to think of a genre without like giving away the entire fucking movie.
I know, you gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Wait, what's yours? What's your genre for?
So my genres are obviously psychological horror, which is like the real one.
Of course, yes, strongly so.
A24 horror is becoming a thing. It's been a thing. I feel like everyone knows what I mean by A24.
got you. Yes. Strong yes. A24. Yes.
Yes. I also got mythology horror, obviously, and blackmail horror.
Ew, that's a bad one, but yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. I can think of like a few that are like, you know, there's some sort of revenge
100%.
Plot. Yeah. Amazing.
Those are all good ones.
What are yours? What are yours, Kate?
All right. So for me, this is heritage horror. Haha. Finally, the white person gets to talk about her heritage because it's Greek and Irish. And that's the cast of this movie. So it's my heritage because I am Greek and Irish. So the director.
Heritage horror. That's nice.
I know. Finally. Finally, we get the Greek-Irish like combination that I didn't know we needed. So we have what's his name? Yorgos Lanthimos. And he is a very big deal. He's the director of this movie. And I was like, wait, I've seen that name. Like, where have I seen that name? Yeah, I'm embarrassed that I don't immediately know, like, his entire bibliography. So, Ariana, tell me if you've seen these. The Lobster?
No, I haven't, but I've heard things.
Bitch, you would love it. The Lobster, okay. The Favorite you've seen.
I have seen The Favorite. I could see how it's a similar vibe.
Yeah.
For sure.
And he directed both Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz in that movie, for which Olivia Colman won an Oscar and the other two were nominated. So he's wow. kind of a good director. And yeah. more recently, we have Poor Things, which just came out. And oh, I still haven't yeah. seen it.
I haven't seen it either. I was so close to seeing it and then I ended up doing something else, but it's on the list. I will definitely see it. Didn't it just like win best picture?
I don't know if the Oscars happened yet, but I know that it was not like Emma Stone also because he keeps yeah. in the cast. She was nominated and so was Mark Ruffalo. And oh, wow. Not only is he like known for like being like making these really fucking good movies and like directing the same actors like very well.
Okay.
But he did win a bunch of awards, obviously, like all these special awards, whatever. He's a big deal. He's yeah. a smart guy. And he co-wrote this with another, with a Greek writer who's Efthymios Philippou. And this was their second collaboration because they did The Lobster together.
The Lobster. I feel like I need to watch The Lobster.
You actually do. It's not Oof. Horror, but you would fucking love it.
Oh, it's not horror. What is it? Thriller?
It's, it's better that you just kind of go into it blind.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
how I feel about most of his movies now that I'm okay. kind of looking at them.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you guys are like hesitant about watching this movie, just dive in. The less you know, the better. Don't watch the trailer, Ariana.
Right.
I know you
did. I had watched the trailer like months and months ago when someone first recommended this. And I think I had read like what it was about back then and I totally mm-hmm. forgot. And I wanted to keep it like very like,
good.
I didn't. Yeah. Like I wanted to not know anything about it. To the point where, like,
the less you know, the better.
You know, I didn't even know why he was hanging out with Barry Keoghan. I didn't know who that was. I was like, are they fucking? Like, I was just like totally in the dark for like the first half of the movie. I was like, what is the vibe here? Like,
yeah. You're
so
confused.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's confusing. And they don't spell it out for you. And then they do.
No,
and
they
you're
don't.
Like, wow, cool.
Until the end.
Until
like,
they do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I have some love children for you, Kate.
Please explain the love children of this movie. Guys, Ariana decides that she's going to like, she knows the love children of other movies that explain this movie, who this movie is the love child of. So you kind of get like an idea for the vibe if this is yeah. kind of like going to be one of your movies.
Yeah, totally. I don't want to give away too much, but Kate, have you seen the movie? It's a M. Night Shyamalan movie.
We need to talk about Kevin.
No.
Oh, never
what
mind.
What movie is that? Do you feel like that's a love child?
Absolutely, yes.
Wait, is that the one with Tilda Swinton?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's been recommended to me by Hulu for like years. Should I not watch it?
Don't do it unless you
Why?
Have like a whole day off. If you're me.
Is it a mind fuck? Because now I want to watch it.
It's dark and realistic and upsetting.
Cool.
Guys,
Ooh,
sign
me
the
fuck
feeling,
up.
If you guys have seen We Need to Talk About Kevin and You're Me, that gave me like a really like unsettling feeling, Ooh. Like this horrific, like harrowing, empty, unsettling feeling.
Yes.
But it was also like beautifully acted and directed. That's kind of how this movie feels.
Yes.
And I'm not the only one to say it because there was like other people have brought up We Need to Talk About Kevin when they were talking about this movie and reviewing Sacred Deer.
Oh, OK. So we'll add that to the list then.
Please don't. But yeah,
We Need to Talk About Kevin. Great. Have you seen Knock at the Cabin?
No, I almost watched it because I was at a cabin, but no.
Oh, shit. Okay. Knock at the Cabin.
I know it's
Shyamalan. Yes. Similar premise. If you've seen it, you know, you'll understand why it's a similar premise. Also, The Lodge, which we just watched recently for fucked up ending reasons and for Alicia Silverstone reasons.
I know.
It got me again. I was like, is that fucking Alicia Silverstone?
Is that fucking Alicia? This girl, bitch. I didn't realize it until this watch through. I was like, hold the fucking phone. And I think it's because we just watched The Lodge.
Yeah. I love that she's like trying to like embrace this like idea and just like be like ironically separating herself from Clueless by like being in horror movies, but like being like smaller characters in horror movies that are just like shocking. Like, I love that.
I love that for her. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I hope they paid her a lot for this because it's great.
She deserved it.
She deserved it. Yeah. So she has a very small part in this movie, but it's like really weird. And you're like, I'm very uncomfortable.
it's gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a problem.
And then obviously Saltburn. Okay. Because Barry Keoghan, obviously. And also Greek mythology, because Saltburn was very Greek myth heavy at the end. So... that's the love children I got for you. They aren't great, but this movie is so unique. It's really, really hard because, this movie is super, super unique. Like, the characters are, they all have the same vibe. It's very weird. They're all, like, very emotionless. And it's like you can't look away. And the premise is so interesting. So you're, like, very entertained the first half of the movie because you're like, I don't understand these people. And the second half, you're like, whoa, like, what a crazy storyline. It's really fun to watch. Very unique.
Very unique. And also, like, we've talked about the crew and, like, the love children, but, like, the cast is banging. The cast is nuts.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Colin Farrell, of course.
Freaking Colin Farrell. Freaking Nicole Kidman. I love that she's breaking into horror movies. I'm so here for it.
More. Oh, my God.
More Nicole Kidman. More. She's great in this movie, too. I'm obsessed with her character.
She's... she's a flawed character, as most every single character in this movie is.
I feel like she's the least flawed.
There's something she says that makes me disagree with you, but you know what?
Okay, we'll talk about
it. We'll get
there. Talk about it.
No, there's something that she says in this movie that I'm like, oh, I think you're the worst one.
Oh, shit. Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, I'm curious to know what that is, but I really like her character. She's like really, really... turns the like mom trope on its ass, kind of, which I love that when that happens. But she's really, 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 really emotionless.
Like, so yeah, great. Like to the maximum. Like, yeah, not a tear is shed.
Yes.
And I think most of you would shed a tear in the circumstances that she is put. And yet.
Yeah.
Her Botox just won't let her. It's like
her Botox is banging. Her fillers are banging.
Yeah, she's bringing top notch plastic.
Yeah, she's got a great fucking dermatologist.
Of course she does,
for sure. Well, I wanted to say that this was recommended on our Discord. This won the Discord poll, and it was recommended by Apricot Turtles. So there's your shout out, girl.
Aww, thanks, Apricot Turtles.
She was like, "How about this one?" And I was like, "Yes."
Say less. I was like,
thank you. I want to put it on a poll again.
She just needed a reason. Thank you for that, Apricot Turtles.
Thank you.
Wait, have you seen The Other Lamb before?
I've seen Lamb.
No, it's The Other
Lamb. The Other Lamb. I've never heard of it.
Well, there are two children. The cast is very small, but there are two children. It's Colin Farrell and Nicole Kidman's two children. And one of them is named Bob. What? I know him from a different movie. But then there's... I think her name's Raffi Cassidy. It's an interesting name. And she's Kim. She's like the 14-year-old daughter. And I knew her from a different horror movie, which is The Other Lamb.
Oh, okay. I thought you were telling me the premise of this other movie. You're like, in The Other Lamb, Nicole Kidman and Colin Farrell are married. They have two kids. One of them's named Bob. I was like, wait, that's just like this movie.
That sounds exactly like this movie.
Oh my God. I was so confused. No,
Ariana, I was explaining it to the club, but I love that you were...
I was invested in
the parallel universe that is The Other Lamb.
I was like, bro, that's even more trippy. This movie is so fucking trippy. It just like takes the entire character names from another movie.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, but I think it's like super weird. So this movie is shot in Cincinnati. It's supposed to take place in Cincinnati. Freaking Colin Farrell, freaking Barry Keoghan, Irish actors, freaking Nicole Kidman and Aussie, obviously. And then the little girl is British, and the only person who's like American is the little boy. It's just like,
right, yeah,
everyone's trying to hide their accents. It's just like very,
I know,
weird and interesting.
I know. I love the hiding of the accents. It's so great. And it's not like they do a bad job. It's just like, I'm very like acutely aware. I'm like, wait, you bitches aren't American. Why are you?
Well, Colin Farrell, I feel like when he gets angry and he starts yelling, like his Irish comes out for sure.
Yeah, but the Irish definitely comes out. And I have also recently seen The Banshees of Inisherin, which is a very Irish movie. And it's Barry Keoghan and Colin Farrell in it.
Oh, my God.
And they're just like fully Irish. Like you can barely understand what they're saying. And then to hear them. Like whenever, like you can definitely hear it from like this, they're American characters in this movie, and then like living on an Irish island in like the 1910s for like Banshees.
Oh,
of Inisherin.
Wow,
fascinating.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Oh my gosh, I might have to watch that.
Barry Keoghan got shit for his accent in Saltburn too.
Really?
UK accents. Yeah. I mean, everybody did, because similarly, none of them are the accent that they're supposed to be in Saltburn.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. We love watching people be American or try to be.
This is a very interesting movie to watch, like very recently after Saltburn, I will say.
I think so too. And it just happened that way. So thank you, Club. This is fun. This is a fun. And that's why I feel like I needed to let everyone know.
We're on the Barry Keoghan wave currently, and we'll do Green Knight next.
We are. And that's why I wanted to just like clarify that, like, not this one. I know I was real hot and heavy Saltburn. Not this one. No.
I don't understand what it is. Like, what
are you joking?
What is it about him in this movie that makes you not attracted to him?
Ew, everything? Let's just tell him. Ew, gross. What is wrong with you? He is red flag.
I mean, same shit for Saltburn, though. Like, if you're attracted to him in Saltburn, you should be attracted to him in this movie. He's practically the same age.
Stop. Fine. Okay. I'm letting... Barry Keoghan is canceled and he is dead to me romantically.
Oh my God. No, he's not.
It's done. If I have to pick a side, the spaghetti scene in this one puts me on the other one. And that's a lot.
You really don't like that? You really don't like the spaghetti?
No.
I got you. Okay. Okay. Sure.
Gave me the ick.
It's your turn off?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I want to hear what happens.
He gives me the ick a lot in this movie. Let's just say that.
Really? Interesting.
Why is that surprising? I thought he gave everyone the ick.
You know, I hate to say it, but he does seem like a very, very similar character as Saltburn.
Kind, he's close. They're both.
Yeah. So if you're like attracted to that kind of like, you know, the vibe.
No.
I don't want to give away Saltburn, but like that vibe, then it feels like it would translate
different
to this movie, but I guess not.
Not for me.
I don't know. I'm not attracted to him in either movie, so I don't really understand it, I guess.
He's like a little goofy. He's like a little kid in this movie to me.
Yeah, like, I think he's supposed to be a teenager, so he like kind of pretends to be like a little goofy teenager. So I
guess he looks to me in this movie like he would drink a glass with like both of his hands and like gulp it and then like gasp afterwards.
so it's like the fact that he seems young in this movie.
Yeah, like very young.
Got it. Okay, that's all you had to say. You're like, I'm not a fucking pedophile.
Yeah, Ariana. No, like not into it.
Well, he is 25. I could tell, you can tell he's definitely trying to make his voice higher. That was like one of the first things I wrote down, because like having seen Saltburn so recently and then watching this movie, I was like, oh, he's pretending to have a higher voice. And I looked up, I was like, I wonder how old he was. He's 25 when he made this movie.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be a 16-year-old. Yeah, for sure.
He's convincingly 16 to me.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. I agree. Very convincing, awkward
teenager.
Too
convincing.
Yeah. Anyway, tell us what happens, Kate. I'm very interested to hear you tell us a story.
Where do we even start? All right, guys, I'm going to try to tell you what happens in this movie, but it's surreal and weird, and you should really go watch it first.
Yeah.
So do that. Where did you watch it? I think I watched it. I think I had to buy it. I think I had to rent it. Oh, yes.
I did rent it.
I rented this.
I rented it on Amazon. It's the only place I could
rented
find
it. It was $3.99, and this is a test that I've talked about. To buy it was $8.99. And I've seen this movie.
You bought
and
it.
I was like, I did not buy this movie.
She didn't like this movie. She doesn't like this movie.
Not,
now we know.
It's not that. It's not that I don't like it. But I was like, should I? Will I watch this at least two more times to make this worth the purchase? And I'm
she doesn't like this movie if she didn't buy it. So now we all know how she feels about it.
I didn't buy it. That's all I'm going to say. So anyway, on to the movie.
I'm going to say right now, she's going to give it an 8 out of 10.
Bitch. Like,
I'm
going to
call it. I'm going to call it right now.
All right. Well, we'll see. All right. We meet hot dad. We meet Colin Farrell, okay? He's a cardiothoracic surgeon in Cincinnati, and he's just like, the movie opens with him like performing open heart surgery. We get some body horror. It's fun.
That's like a real surgery, by the way.
Is it? The heart looks funny.
It's a real surgery. It's a quadruple bypass. They filmed
Whoa.
It. It looks Whoa. Funny because when they do surgeries, obviously they have to like cut off blood flow to certain parts of the heart. So it looks like very blanched. I'm assuming that's what you mean.
Yeah, like I was looking at, like, you can't see much of the heart, but you can see like a lobe of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. I also was like, this is weird. I wonder if, my first thought, having known nothing about this movie, was like, is this a deer heart? LOL. So I Googled it. I was like, is this a deer heart? It's not. It's an actual human heart, and it's an actual quadruple bypass surgery.
Oh my God. Did they live? I don't want to know. That's fine.
Well, he was drunk, so no, I'm just kidding.
That's a lot to throw at me in the first 30 seconds of this movie, an IRL. Because my husband gets squeamish with body stuff. And he's like, is this real? And I was like, no, it's not real. Don't worry. I'm like, pig
don't
organs.
Worry, but it is.
Nick, don't listen to this episode, all right? Because I lied to him.
It's a real fucking surgery.
Watch the rest of this with me. It's going to get worse.
Also, can we talk about the fact that they played an overture? They played like this movie, before we see a quadruple bypass, you get the full A24 vibe. Because they play a literal overture with a black screen. I was like, yes.
The second it started, I was like, yes. It's so melodramatic. I'm just obsessed. And then it's like, dun, dun. And it's just him doing his little surgery. And
love it.
Afterwards, we meet Martin, a.k.a. Barry Keoghan, being a creepy little guy. And like, he has this like strange relationship with Steve, the surgeon. And you kind of find out that, I guess we can just go ahead and say this part now. Like,
yeah.
Previously, the way he knows this kid, who he's kind of being cautious about, who sees him talking to the kid and things like that. The reason he knows this kid, Barry Keoghan, is because his dad, he had done surgery on previously, and there was like a fatal error and his dad died. And so he's like kind of, I guess, out of guilt, is sort of like taking this kid under his wing. This kid's, what's his name? Martin, yeah.
Martin, yeah.
Fucking Martin. Sorry, guys, but horror has made Martin a creepy name.
Fucking Martin, fucking Vivarium.
Vivarium, yeah, it's creepy. Sorry. Sorry if your name's Martin.
Horror.
This is some full Martin horror. So yeah, so Martin's like kind of a weird guy. He's a weird little guy. And you're like trying to figure him out. You're like, is it like Asperger's? Like,
It seems like he might be on the spectrum a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like some, he's acting kind of differently, but also everyone in this movie acts unnaturally. Yeah. So you're not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to be more unnatural than Steve. So long story short, Steve invites Martin, I think at Martin's kind of like pressure, to come meet his family.
Right.
Yeah. And so Steve, who's a heart surgeon, has this like gorgeous, pristine white house, and he's got a 14-year-old daughter named Kim. He's got this son, Bob, who I don't know. He's like 8, 10. I don't know kids.
Sure.
10? Let's say 10.
I don't know kids' ages. He seems like
I'm just not good
at it. Let's call it 9.
You're 5 or you're 14. Don't know what to say. So we don't have kids. So anyway, that night, they have dinner. Martin like gives everyone kind of like a little gift. He gives the mom, Nicole Kidman, like roses, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He gives Kim, who is, I'm going to use the term loosely, singer, like a keynote chain. And Bob gets something else. Can I just talk about Kim for a second?
Do you love Kim?
Kim is such a problem. So Kim, it's not her fault, okay? It's not her fault. But you ever see someone and you're like, your parents gave you too much praise and you don't know that you're not good at something?
Oh, yes. She's supposed to be like, she's supposed to love singing and she's in the choir and that's like her passion. But then she like sings and it's like very mediocre, but it's like intentional.
It is the most mediocre. Yeah. So I will say that I told this to Nick when I was watching the movie because it's cringe. She sings a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
And she's very like tonally flat, and that is intentional, and
I
it kind of adds to the unease
so awkward
of
yeah.
the movie, because like she could have been a beautiful singer, like that's easy to do, but they're like, no, right. She's gonna sound like what you hear at the Pledge of Allegiance at your junior high football game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's what she sounds like.
Extremely mediocre, aggressively mediocre.
Aggressively mediocre, but no idea that she's not a star. And I will say this, my mother, bless her soul, great mother, but we have been to many a football game and one was bad. And she turned to me and said, uh-oh, I would never let you do that. And I'll love her forever. And I'm just watching Kim sing and they're like clapping for her. Mom and dad are clapping. Aww. Like, don't do that. Like, don't.
Oh,
no, like a little encouragement.
Like,
good,
tell her she's
like,
bad.
I'm like, there's other things, sweetie. Like, we can. Yeah. You like dance?
I think it's hard because she's, you know, she's 14. She just went through puberty. Me, I feel like when there's a little kid who's singing like that, you're like, oh, they're cute. But then like once you go through puberty, you're like, OK, maybe it's time we tell you you're not good at this. They're in too
bless.
Deep.
Yeah. We're in too deep. So yeah, get out there and sing the fucking Star Spangled Banner, all right?
Yeah.
Big yikes. And they use, she sings a lot again. So I feel like we need to bring that up.
Yeah.
It's important
for
my feelings.
She loves music. Yeah.
Loves music. Gets a music keynote. I don't remember what the little boy gets from him. He gets like a...
I don't remember what he gets either, but he does give
it's
him
like
something.
A different keychain with something else on it.
Oh, yeah. So it was a keychain with like a lightning... I don't remember. Yeah. He gets a keychain.
It wasn't important. Or was it?
Or was it? I was going to say, I bet Kate has a theory about this and that's why she's bringing
it up. Yes, I do. It's just weird and out of place that that happens. Anyway, so they
it
have
is.
Like a...
However, you didn't say this, but Stephen did give Martin a gift as well, you know? So
oh, yeah,
it's like gift giving constantly. Like, here's a watch, like a really expensive, nice watch. And so when he met his family, he brought everyone a gift. So it could just be all transactional.
It could. Yeah. It could be like sweet little boy bringing ugly ass keychains.
Yeah. Sure.
It's fine. But they all have dinner. And then immediately, like, you know, obviously dad is like, okay, thank God we got that out of the way. Cause Martin is like no one wants to be around Martin. So anyway, that night, Martin at like 11 p.m. rings them up and is like, hello, you're invited to dinner tomorrow with me and my mom. And, you know, Steve's like, I have surgery. Also, no.
It's very weird because at this point in the movie, we don't know yet 100% that Martin's dad was killed on the operating table of Steven. Like, we're all like, unless you had known something prior to this movie, like, I was going through... different things. I was like, are they fucking? Like, is this like a euphoria situation?
Is it like a, like, you know, long lost son? Like, am I actually his dad?
That was the first thing. I was like, oh, this is like your son from your previous marriage.
Secret son.
But then it's like when he keeps calling him and putting all this pressure on him, you're like, okay. So like there's some sort of power dynamic here. That's why I was like, are they fucking? But you don't know. You're like, why is this 16-year-old able to pressure this cardiothoracic surgeon to like do these things.
Right.
It's very
that he
weird.
Doesn't want to do. And like there was a scene where Martin shows up at the hospital, which like inappropriate, like don't do that. Mm-hmm. And Steve is like, don't do this. We've talked about
this.
He's
like,
this.
You need
and
to
then,
call
lies.
Before you show up.
Yeah. And then like an anesthesiologist passes by and he like lies and he's like, oh, this is an extern. He wants to be a doctor one day. And then like,
I totally thought
like,
they
get
were
the fuck
fucking
out of here.
I was like, oh shit, they're definitely
that would make sense at that point. No.
Yeah.
That would make sense. Yeah. We don't quite understand, but they don't like, it's not really outlined super clearly. It's kind of like pieced together.
Yeah. They also have a scene where he legitimately lies to Anna, his wife, saying his dad is dead. He died in a car accident. Like he blatantly lies to her.
Yeah.
And it's like so crazy because then you're like, okay, wait, what? And then later you realize, oh, he just lied. What? And they don't make it obvious for you to figure these things out.
No, nothing is obvious at this point.
Yeah.
And again, everyone's speech and like the tone, everything's just very
emotionless,
unnatural. Yeah, it's just weird. So yeah, so Martin's like, you need to come to dinner with my mom. And he's like, it's 11 p.m. No. And Martin's like, well, I already told my mom that you would do it. And it means a lot to us. So you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And he does. So we see Steve like go to the most awkward dinner ever with Martin and his mom, a.k.a. Alicia Silverstone. And then they're like, he keeps trying to leave. And they're like, no, let's watch my dad's favorite movie. You know, my dead dad.
Yep.
Let's watch his favorite movie, Groundhog's Day.
So much guilt. I think like, he's just like. Piling on the guilt. And when I was watching this, Kate, I was like, This reminds me of Kate because Kate.
What? Excuse you.
Kate doesn't want to set boundaries because she feels guilty sometimes.
Mm.
So I was like, this guy needs to fucking set a boundary.
Well, at least I was worried that I reminded you of Barry Keoghan in this scene. So at least I'm Colin Farrell, who's the most sane of all the three. Okay, yes. Thank God. I'm like, if I'm Alicia or if I'm Barry, I'm fucked.
Oh, man.
Honestly, thank you. I appreciate that you were like, this makes me concerned for my
friend. Yeah, I was concerned. I was like, I almost texted you, but then I didn't because we try not to text each other about them.
I don't think I would. I do think I would probably go to, like, if I was a surgeon, and I think I would probably go. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
You would. 100%.
Maybe
would,
I shouldn't. Maybe this is a lesson that I've learned.
No kidding. Yeah.
Set Thanks, boundaries. Barry's unblinking eyes for teaching me this lesson. Horrifying.
All the lessons Barry has taught us.
Oh my God, how many you've taught me. But don't worry, it's going to get worse. So after pleading that Steve stay and watch this movie uncomfortably, Martin's like, well, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah, it's like an obvious setup for his mom.
Yes. And the mom cannot wait. Like, she's just like ready to pounce.
Yeah.
And she's like touching his hands. And again, we're watching Groundhog's Day. She's touching his hands.
She's a good
flirt. Surgeons have good hands. It's very forward.
Yeah.
Starts smooching on his beautiful surgeon hands. And then, you know, obviously Steve is like, I'm done being polite. I gotta go. And Alicia Silverstone, mom, kind of like rebuffs and is like, well, you know, Martin wants this just as much as I do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so awkward, especially when she's talking about his hands. She's like, you know, my husband thought you had good hands too. I brought it up to him. So weird.
And she's like, they make a big thing about how, you know, like, you even recognize me? Like, I lost like 100 pounds.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird.
And like, I know. And like, I dyed my hair and I'm blonde. I used to be like chubby and brunette, but look at me now.
Yeah. She's like, do you like it better now? And he's like, you look nice.
You look nice. Can I please go?
He looks at her and he just goes, yeah, I like it better this way. And then he keeps watching TV.
Also, like, not the nicest thing to say, guys. Just like, that's not
well,
what
it's
you
the
say.
Truth. He's just like, yes.
It works for her.
Yeah.
Jesus.
He's telling her the truth.
Anyway, Steven's had enough. He's like, okay, gotta go.
Yeah.
Infidelity is where I draw the line at being polite. So I gotta go.
Yep.
So anyway, the next day, again, Martin doesn't have boundaries and just pops back at the hospital. And it's like, Steve, like, I need to talk to you right now. Makes a scene, obviously. Martin is drama. And he starts talking about how he has chest pain. And he's like, oh, my God, like, my dad had a heart issue. And like, what if that could be me? And Steven's like, no, you fucking don't. Like, you're 16. Like, oh my God, like, what is this?
Yeah.
But he, you know, kind of like acquiesces and is like, all right, fine. Let's do all the heart tests. They find nothing's fucking wrong with him, of course.
Yeah.
And then Martin takes the opportunity to be like, hey, by the way, while I'm here for my heart tests.
Heard you and my mom almost fucked last night.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
She's into it and so am I.
Oh my God. He's like, yeah. So speaking of my heart, what about my mother's heart?
Yeah.
And you're my daddy now.
You're my daddy.
Oh, it's awful. And it's awful because you kind of know when he shows up for his fucking heart test and you're just watching Steve has to navigate through it because of the guilt. And he's like, well, what if it is a heart thing? And that's my fault, too. And
it's such an interesting eye catching. You can't look away dynamic because up to this point, no horror things have happened. And we're like on minute 40, like zero, like true horror moments. But you're just like,
yeah,
so uncomfortable and cringe by everyone's like general attitude. And like trying to figure out why he keeps giving into this kid and how this kid is able to like guilt him and like blackmail him almost.
Yeah.
You're just like watching.
What power
like,
does this kid have?
What is going on? You're like trying to figure out. It's so interesting and so fun to watch their relationship.
Yeah. The power dynamic between a cardiovascular surgeon.
Yeah.
And a 16-year-old kid who eats spaghetti in like one bite.
The spaghetti
and
got
carries
you.
A backpack everywhere. I can't
the
handle
freaking
the freaking
spaghetti.
It really did me end. We're having all right, he eats spaghetti later, guys. We'll get there. Anyway, Steve is like, hey, I feel like I need to tell you this. I'm super married and you kind of know that.
Yeah.
But Martin's like, I don't care. Like, hang out with us. He starts acting fucking weird. And
he's like, yeah, I think you and my mom would make a good couple. So
such a weird thing to say.
It's like, okay, yeah, but I'm married.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But he gets out of it and gets to go home and listen to Kim, I think, at this point, do her really bad voice training exercises.
Me, 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 me. It's so cringe and fun.
It's part of the trailer, too, is she's singing like, I forget what it is. It's like a pop song from like 2008 or something.
That's in the movie, too.
Yeah, I know. But it was in the trailer and it's like the song.
That's my favorite shit. That's my favorite shit.
Flat singing. It's bizarre. And they know what they're doing.
Kate, you better put that song at the end of this episode.
Of course I will.
It's my favorite.
Of course I will. It's your favorite, though?
That's my favorite shit. It's so that scene is so fucking good because it's just so awkward. It's just like, what am I watching? What is going on?
What am I watching? That is the question of this movie. Guys, if you're ever like in a cabin alone or like with like a somewhat close friend, but not too close, put this movie on. It's perfect.
Not too close, though.
Yeah, not too close. For those, it's the lodge. But if you're not that close,
this movie will bring you closer to an acquaintance.
Yes, it will. To a hospital.
This will give you joint trauma for your acquaintance.
Yes, it will. I still think about scenes from this movie. And I watched this when it came out in 2017. And I was like,
wow.
And again, am I going to buy this movie or not? $8.99 versus $3.99. That's all I'm going to say right now.
Kate,
anyway.
Kate didn't like this movie. I'm upset.
It keeps going. So you're upset?
I'm upset that you don't like this movie.
Ah, honey girl. No, just like. You know,
she didn't like it.
You know,
she didn't like it.
We'll get there.
Okay. Okay.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Okay.
So it's going to get fucking weird, right? So, because we're 40 minutes in and we're uncomfortable, but nothing, and everyone's talking weird, but nothing overtly horror, like Ariana has said, has happened. So he gets home. His daughter Kim gets home late and he's like, how'd you get home? And she's like, oh, yeah, Martin drove me home on his motorcycle.
Yeah, it becomes like a stalking situation. I feel like I'm like, am I watching Fatal Attraction right now? Like, that's the cringe.
Yes!
Of it all. You're like
another love child.
Yeah, you're like, okay, so maybe that's the horror of it, is like this becomes like a right. Blackmail, Fatal Attraction obsession thing. Wrong.
Yeah, because you're still trying to figure it out at this point. You're, yeah, wrong.
Yeah,
you think you know things, you don't know shit.
He's like gonna fuck the daughter. No, he's not.
No, he's not. Yeah, exactly. You're like, what is he gonna do? He's gonna do something bad.
Yeah.
But you do not know what he's going to do.
Right.
Let me just tell you that.
You can't guess it.
Nope. But we're going to get there, because one morning, the son, Bob, it's time to go to school. And he's just sitting in his bed. And he's like, I can't move my legs. And they're like, get up. Like, you can totally move your legs. And like, they fully like pick him up and like, it's awful. And like, try to place his feet. You know, like that thing where you're trying to test if your cat's stupid or not. And you like put its feet up against the wall and you see if they like position their paws to push.
I've never done that.
Okay, so like a nice, dumb, soft-brained, smooth-brained, has never seen the outdoors house cat will just kind of like, if you like lift it and kind of push it into the wall, it just kind of folds into the wall. Versus like,
I have never done this. I need to find out if my cats are dumb.
You have to do it.
I've never, oh my God. So like, just they would like pretend to like walk on the wall, you mean? Like if they're
smart. They would flip their paw over and like put it on the wall.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Positionally.
Darwin would 100% do that. He does that. He has like personal, yeah, space issues. Like, yes, if we get too close, yeah, to him, he'll like, he's take like, his paw and like, no, push you away. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Dharma would fail this test.
Dharma has no depth perception. She's a cyclops.
No. So Ariana took her eye. Just so everyone knows, Ariana
her
took
eye
her cat's
came out
eye
of her head
out.
And I sewed the hole shut.
And she's living a great life, bless
her. She is.
But she would not pass the test.
She has one brain cell and no depth perception.
Ellie, I'm not sure.
Ellie's smart.
Is she smart? Yeah, she's smart.
Yeah, she's cute.
Anyway, they kind of do that test where they're like putting his feet on the ground and then just like dropping him and he just like collapses like he's got spaghetti legs. And so that's concerning. And this is where things get weird. So obviously, Steve and his wife, Nicole Kidman, Anna, who's an ophthalmologist, I think it's important to say.
Yeah.
Like, they're very like academic,
yeah,
very smarty, little smarty pants. Mm-hmm. So they run to the hospital. They're doing all the tests. Everything's normal. And so they're like, it's got to be psychosomatic. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, because he literally can't fucking move. Like, he cannot. He's got jelly legs from the waist down. And that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. Right.
So Martin comes to the hospital.
Shows
and
up.
And he's there to. Oh, my. Because of course he does. He's always here, isn't he? And he's there chatting with Bob, his friend Bob. And he and, you know, hot Steve, cardiovascular surgeon Steve, they have like a little heart to heart where very explicitly to Ariana's delight.
We're at minute 50. We've had 50 minutes of nothing. This is minute 50. Just letting everyone know.
And I'm still watching. Like, it's like nothing has happened, but I'm creeped out.
Uh-huh.
I'm interested.
Me too.
Ariana, so you love talking about rules. So why don't you explain the rules that Martin explains
to Steve,
what's going on with my kid? Martin's like, I'll tell you exactly what's going on.
I don't think they're rules. I think it's just a very explicit explanation for what's about to happen. He was just like,
there are rules.
You knew this day was coming.
Yep.
Your son's not going to get better. You took my dad and now someone has to die in your family. And basically your family's going to drop like flies one by one. It's going to start with paralysis and then they're going to stop eating until they starve. And then their eyes are going to start bleeding and then they're going to die. And he said, it's going to happen to your son, your daughter, and your wife, unless you choose to kill someone. Insane.
What do you do with that information?
They pan to freaking Colin Farrell's face. No emotion at all.
No.
No reaction.
He does not think this is real.
It's not even just that. It's just like the amount of, like, even if you didn't think that was real, you would still be like pissed that someone would even be saying that to you, or you'd be like surprised and you'd have some sort of emotional change. But like all of these people have like this weird lack of affect, like alien. It's just so weird. And
it's weird.
This scene is like the most, like, sticks out in my brain is like the most predominant example of that, because it's just like no reaction at all to someone being like, you have to kill someone.
Have you seen After Yang? After Yang is a movie that you would like. Ooh. And it's Colin Farrell in it, of course. And it's they talk and their affects are like this. And it involves people who are robots.
Yes. I love it.
You would love it. We'll get there. But yeah, you're right. The affect is a very important part of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So Martin's like, I'm going to creepypasta your family unless, you know, you kill one of them.
Oh, my God. I didn't even make that connection.
The blood will drip from their eyes.
Yeah.
If you've listened to any of our creepypastas and you've heard, it's like kind of a rule. If you're going to write a creepypasta, someone's blood has got to drip from their eyes. So it's very Sonic.exe.
Someone's got to cry blood at some
point. We're here for it. We're like, I get it. That's a good plot point. Anyway, so obviously, Steve's like, calls security and gets him kicked out of the hospital.
Yeah.
But things progress as expected. So they're trying to get Bob to eat and he's refusing all food. Like, Daddy Steve is like, smushing donut in his face. It's a lot. It's a whole lot.
Yeah.
Oh, and he has a feeding tube in now.
Yeah.
He
place a feeding tube. Yeah. Because they're like, he's literally going to starve.
Yeah. So because we're not uncomfortable enough, we have to go watch Kim at choir practice. So she's singing at choir practice.
She's singing a Christmas song in the middle of summer. I was like, I'm confused by this.
She needs to practice.
They practice for 6 months. Okay. All right.
Yeah. They need to practice.
Okay.
So she's singing her little choir song and then just like very melodramatically just like flops to the ground.
Yeah.
Can't use her legs.
Just acute paraparesis.
Acute paraparesis. Well, explain what acute paraparesis is. Paraparesis. What do they call it in people? Is it still paraparesis? Probably.
I don't know what they call it in people.
All right. Well, paraparesis is like two of your legs ain't working and it's probably your back legs. Hemi is like one side of you ain't working. So yeah, these kids have acute paraplegia. They're not weak.
A very cute. No, I'm just kidding.
Super cute.
It's super cute.
Guys, we're doing the test.
Wait, my cats both did it. Darwin did it and Darwin did it.
Ariana is placing her cats against the wall to see if they will crumple like a victim of Barry Keoghan. And they both passed. So try this with your cats at home. Or ask your vet before you do it. I don't know what disclosure I need to do. Look it up on YouTube. It's cute. Unless it's this movie and it's not cute. We're trying the third one.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No. Oh, she did it. She's just as dumb.
All right. She figured it out. She got there. All right. So she will not be bleeding from her eyes anytime soon.
I remembered the thing we were talking about and then I forgot.
Oh, we're talking about how she drops like a...
Oh, yeah, we were talking about paraparesis. Yes. Paraparesis. Yeah. Very acutely paraparetic.
I think it's paraplegia for them. I think that they, like, can't move. Like, they're actually paralyzed and not just weak. So, like, guys, paresis is weak, like, and it can be extreme weakness. But plegia is, like, your nerves ain't nerving.
I guess you're right. They don't have motor.
Yeah. They're not moving them legs. As you'll come to see in the many scenes that are coming ahead of us.
Yes.
Oh, drag horror. I didn't tell you the rest of my horror genres. Also, dragging horror.
For some reason, when you said drag horror, I was like, drag queens, drag race, like drag
horror? You fucking wish.
I do wish.
It's a bait and switch.
Yeah.
It's literally, we're dragging bodies across the ground.
Dragging
it's
bodies.
It's not cute.
That's
like
not
drag
fun.
Horror should be. All right. So we got Kim and we got Bob. They are both afflicted. They are both full, like, next to each other in the same hospital room, which is very nice. And they have feeding tubes.
They're twinning
and, like,
with
they
their
NG eat.
Tubes.
Yes. Yeah. They're doing great. So anyway, at this point, I think it's time for Daddy Steve to come clean. So he's kind of like talking, because again, Nicole Kidman has no emotion. No one has emotions
yes.
in this family. And so Nicole Kidman's just like calmly kind of trying to piece together what's going on. She's like, so clearly something fucky is about.
She is so just like, so not in any way. Like, she's watching him shove donuts into the little boy's mouth, and she's just kind of like watching him do it. Like, it's
watching.
So interesting. It's
she's
so
just
interesting.
Calculating what this means.
Yeah. It's so mm-hmm. interesting. But anyway, yeah.
There's
so
no
then,
emotional reaction of my baby. Like,
none.
That's not there.
None. Yes. So then he's like, oh, ooh. Fuck, I have to tell her the truth and get her on board so that she can know what
yeah.
I'm up against.
Yep.
So they finally have a heart to heart about like who Martin is.
Yeah. And who his dad is, who was
right.
a patient of Steve's.
Right.
Who was getting heart surgery. And this is interesting. Steve does not offer this information on his own volition. Nicole Kidman, because he's kind of like being awkward and weird. And his wife, Nicole Kidman, is like
he's being sketchy. Yeah.
Had you been drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Had you been drinking?
She's so smart.
And she's very flat about it.
Yeah.
She's very flat.
Yeah.
Which is a horrifying idea that our people who are doing our quadruple bypass surgeries might be inebriated. But after learning
yeah.
about Dr. Death. Probably
I was
going to
say, yeah. A lot of doctors, I feel like, abuse drugs.
Get scared. Go listen to our Dr. Death minisode. I did it with Emma and it's fucked up. All right. Anyway, back to the fictional universe where I feel safe. Martin has... We figure out the connection with Martin, which
yes.
is that he is kind of like an eye for an eye. You fucked up. You were negligent. Yeah, my dad is dead. And now, because of your hubris, we're going to need a balance. And so you're going to have to sacrifice someone that you love, which is what he explained
yeah.
very clearly the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're starting to kind of believe it.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah. And at this point also, like, Martin is also kind of romancing the daughter, Kim.
It's so weird. I can't make that make sense to me. Like, we kind of talk about things later. Like,
she's 14 and has a motorcycle.
Yeah. It's just very weird. Like, it's like, why are you involved with the daughter? Is it just like adding insult to injury? Like, I'm just very confused. Like, at a certain point, this is unrelated, but like once he tells Anna everything, like they're on the same page and
mm-hmm.
the kids get worse, the girl's not eating. You know, Steven goes to Martin's house and he's like banging on the window and he's like, Martin,
yeah.
like, I see you, like, come out and talk to me. Like, and then he starts screaming
yeah.
and he's like, I will fuck you and your mom like you wanted me to. Just come out and talk to me. Like,
yeah,
if anything happens to my kids or my wife, you're going to die in prison, which is like. So intense. Such a great scene.
Very intense.
He loses it. That's like one of the few moments of emotion we see.
I kind of enjoyed that.
Me
the fact
too.
That it wasn't just like reaction. It was like absence of reaction.
Yeah.
So much. Until
mm-hmm.
finally, kaboom, you have this massive explosion.
Right.
And you're like, oh, yeah, you do. You're upset. That I would be, too. But
right.
Like, yeah. You're acting normally now.
Steve is the most emotional
so
out of everybody. And it's really interesting because they will have emotions in extreme circumstances, but for the rest of it, it's like nothing. So you
Flat.
Know they can have it. It's just almost makes it worse mm-hmm. that they're not having emotions all the time. Because you know it's possible.
I'm like, so we're suppressing stuff. It's
yeah.
not just like we don't
exactly.
feel it.
Exactly. It makes it more horrific. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. it does.
Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about making it more horrific and more confusing if this is your first, second, or third time watching. Because Martin, who has had like a little cute romance with Kim, again, who is paralyzed in the hospital with a feeding tube.
Yeah.
Martin calls her on the hospital phone and is like, tells her to stand up.
Yeah.
And she does. She stands up and walks over to the window of the hospital room and waves to him.
It's such a weird scene because she's talking about him to her mom. And then suddenly he calls when she's talking about him.
Uh-huh.
She answers. She's like, are you going to come visit me? Like flirting, cute, you know. She goes, why not?
So cute.
And then they talk a little bit longer. And then all of a sudden she goes, wait, you're here? Like he literally just said, no, I'm not going to come visit you. And then he's like, yes, I'm here. I'm outside your window. Come to the window. And she's like, well, I can't walk. He's like, yes, you can walk to the window. And then she walks to the window and we're like, what? Like, are they pretending? Like, what is going on? She walks.
Is she in on it?
Yes, exactly. She walks to the window. She gets to the window. She looks for him and he's not there, Kate. She wants to wave to him. He's not there. But they had showed him outside of the hospital. So like he was there initially and then he either like disappeared or like
left.
Like within 5 seconds it took her to walk to the window. It's very weird and disorienting. You're like, what? And this is the part of the movie where I was like, hells yeah, some supernatural shit is going down.
I knew it.
The whole time I was like, oh, this is dumb. This is like just some black male movie, whatever. Like, no, like some supernatural shit is happening. Like, what the fuck?
This was like that The Witch moment where you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. It's what I wanted it to be. Perfect.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God. Okay, cool.
Excellent. And I love this because the mom, Nicole Kidman slash Anna, her name's Anna, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Nicole Kidman is watching all this happen. Again, just like sitting kind of like semi-emotionless, like a computer. Like she's just kind of like calculating as all this happens.
Yeah.
And so this, she pays attention to this moment. She does not like dismiss it at all. As she's like, okay, so something fucky is going on. So she goes to Martin, she finds him, and she's like begging. And she's like, essentially like, I know what happened. I know what my husband did, but this, that's what my husband did. Like, don't let my children pay the price of my husband's mistake.
She's like, why do I and my children have to pay this price?
And we get a horrible moment where you realize Martin is not fucking around.
The spaghetti. It got her. The spaghetti scene. This is the spaghetti scene.
Will you explain it? Explain the spaghetti. I want you to explain it.
He's just eating spaghetti messily and like...
It's gross.
It really got Kate. This is the most horrific part of the whole movie for her, apparently.
Spaghetti horror.
Spaghetti
literally
horror.
When this won the poll, club members, the first thing I saw was Barry Keoghan slurping up spaghetti.
Oh my God.
Yes, because there's a whole moment where he talks about, you know, because, you know, he gets his little monologues and he goes, you know, people always told me that me and my dad ate spaghetti exactly the same way. And he's like, we would just put our fork in and twirl it and then put it in our mouth. And then I learned that's how everyone eats spaghetti. And there's nothing special about me and my father.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
It's a very interesting monologue. Yeah. It's like, okay. Huh. All right.
Okay. What do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I think that this scene is very interesting because
she
doesn't go to him and bargain with him. She doesn't say.
No, she's asking.
She doesn't
questions.
Also ask him how he's doing it. She doesn't say, how are you? Are you poisoning us? Are you hypnotizing them? Are you?
Right.
She doesn't ask any of that. She just goes to him and asks for forgiveness. She accepts that it's happening. And she goes to him and she's like, why us? Why does it have to be us? Like, we know he fucked up. Like, I agree that he's at fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why us? Like, it's that's what she's there for. It's such an interesting choice, I think.
No, it's very. Yeah. Because she's not begging either.
Right, right.
She's just kind of...
She takes...
Absorbing, calculating.
She does everything she can, I think, to make this end and do it in
she's
a way...
She's extremely logical.
Yes, do it in a logical way to make this end for her family. Like, that's her goal. She's like, I want this to end.
This has to be done.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she's asking, like, why... And Barry, again, is his name's not Barry. Martin.
I know. I keep forgetting his name, too.
Yeah. So Martin is essentially like, this is the closest thing to justice as I can do. So,
yep,
that's it.
It's very interesting. He's like, this is, you know,
it's in motion.
Karma. This is what happens.
This is karma. Exactly.
Very cool.
So, yeah, eventually at the hospital, they're like, we've done 800 MRIs on your kids. I don't know. Go home. You're stable. So they send him home. And Steve is still being like really chill about everything. Or so it seems.
Right.
Until he goes and he fucking finds Martin and he goes full Taken and like ties him up in the basement and is like beating the absolute shit out of this kid.
Yeah.
In like the scariest basement you could imagine.
Yeah.
And trying to get information. And Martin is a closed book. He is giving nothing.
Nothing.
Like, he's spitting his teeth out.
Yeah.
Not answering the question.
Yeah. Except he does say, you know, he does do a little bit of a mini monologue where he's like, it's honestly just making it equal. It's just,
yeah,
justice.
He's like,
and at a certain point, right after he like hits him really hard and his tooth is broken and half out of his face,
mm-hmm.
Martin bites Steve on the
yes.
arm, and Steve's like, what the fuck? And then Martin right after bites his own arm. It bites a chunk out of it and then spits the chunk.
Yeah,
like
spits it out.
Like, he's so fucking metal. And also, like, he doesn't give a fuck. He's like, see how that made you feel better? He goes, doesn't it make you feel better to make it equal?
An eye for an eye.
And Steve's just like, well, like, who the... You're a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
Insane.
Oh, my God. This is when you're like, oh, it is a horror movie. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it came on fast, and I wasn't expecting that. It becomes body horror kind of fast.
Oof.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so at this point, Steve is, like, not bargaining anymore. He's, like, getting kind of serious about the fact that he's going to have to choose someone to kill.
Of his family, yeah. So crazy.
Oh, and he's, like, kind of, like, weighing the odds of, like, which... All right, this is the part where I get pissed.
Okay.
I think it's here.
I think I know what you're talking about with Anna, right?
You know what it is.
And this is why...
This is when I have a major problem as a character.
Sure.
Where I'm like, you are not a good person. And obviously Steve's not either. Like, neither parent is a good person.
Yes.
But Anna's really not a good person for this
She's
one.
She's an extremely logical person.
Yes.
It's all logic.
I know.
It's all logic with her.
It's all logic. Why don't you tell them?
Yeah. So there's a scene where... Anna goes up to Steve and she's like, you know, I've been thinking about the problem, the issue, you know, the situation we're in. And, you know, I think we should kill one of the kids.
It makes most sense.
Because we can have another one. Yeah. She's
we'll
like,
make another one.
It's the most logical solution. We can make another one. It's
the ego.
A very
the
weird
absolute
scene.
Ego. Like, she's still like, we still haven't learned our lesson, kind of. We'll get to it. But like the absolute ego of being like, this is about me and like what I can get out of it and I can fix it. And there's always a solution that's going to benefit me the best.
Hmm.
And that's mm-hmm. so fucked up because listen, I'm not a mother, but I got two dogs.
She's a dog mom.
Every mother is like the same, exactly the same as my infant that I created. But listen, I'm not just going to be like, fuck yeah, shoot a dog. And that's a dog.
Yeah.
Imagine yeah. creating and loving a child.
Yeah. It's so
weird. I do
weird.
Think that's a big no-no, parent-wise. Like, I just think, no.
Anna's a very bad. Weird... She's such a weird character. I do really like her character, though, because it is... Like, I like her character, not in, like,
a... It's a fun character.
She's
yeah.
fun. She's interesting. It's like, she's
Neat.
So well thought out and so consistent
yes.
as a character that I'm, like, here for it. You know, she's just all
yeah,
logic.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And even when she's like does little evil things that are logical, I'm like, okay. I'm like, that makes sense
yeah.
for you. You know?
Well, they both do, right? Like everyone in this family kind of does, especially the parents.
Yeah. I think she's probably the most consistent for me though. I think everyone else has like a little bit more of an arc, but I think she's like definitely she's been who she is from the first moment and she's just, you know, this is how her brain
a
works.
A survivalist, but
yeah.
also like she's an ophthalmologist. She's very academic. And I think that she sees, and this is something that I think is a theme of this movie, is people who are very academic, very specialized, very like in their own sort of world, think they're better than the common people.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it is.
And they're not.
Stick. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very hubristic. But the fact that she's like, of course it wouldn't be me. Like, she doesn't even bring up the fact that it could be her, even though she's one of the three options.
Or is she saying that to him to try to convince him not to kill her? Like, is it all, like, motivated so that
that's
she doesn't?
Fucked up.
Yeah, it is fucked up. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying, like, that's another motivation, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's all fucked up. Fascinating. We like it. We want to watch it.
Well, they all three do things that basically try to get him to not choose them.
They do.
There's this point in this movie where
it's like Survivor right before they have to vote.
Yeah, it's like right at there's like a turning point where they all realize like this is what's gonna have to go down, and they all do something for the dad to try to convince him to save them and not choose them. And it's just like heartbreaking and so psychologically fucked up. It's just like, oh my god, this is insane.
It's worse than Sophie's Choice, right? Everyone knows Sophie's Choice. So spoiler alert, if you don't want me to spoil Sophie's Choice, she has to make a choice. But it's so much worse than that, because not only is he like deciding who's not going to live, he has to kill this person, this member of his family.
Mm-hmm.
Way worse.
Yep. He has to do it.
In my opinion. I think it's all bad.
Yeah.
It's not good. And yeah, everyone's kind of like doing their little like American Idol performance of like, this is why I should live.
Yeah.
And I think this is the moment where Kim, the daughter, who's a great singer, as I've mentioned, but she's also
loves
very
her
into
singing.
Like, love it. Can't get enough. Her, like, she's really into like, she's written some essays. And I think one of them is specific to the theme of the movie.
Mm-hmm. It's the actual.
And I'm not going to say what it is. Well, say what it is, just in case people know.
No, I feel like, I mean, people know it's a Greek play called Iphigenia in Aulis, I think is how you say it. But it's like by Euripides, and it's obviously this entire movie shot for shot, basically.
Pretty important.
Yeah.
Just a little ref.
Yeah.
Little ref,
but I think it's funny
guys.
Because as I was watching this, you know, before I realized that the whole movie is based on this play, this Greek play, I was like, confused, kind of. I do feel like they are all logical people and whatever, but there is a scene where Stephen goes to the school and he logically asks the principal to weigh in on which kid is better. He literally says, like,
yes,
who is smarter? Who is, if you had to choose one, who's like the better student and like who's better? And the principal's just like, what?
The most likely. Who would be better to live?
Yeah.
As, you know, a principal. You know what I mean? You've been trained for this.
And then it's so weird. I do think that in reference, like in retrospect, definitely part of this scene was just there so that they could say Iphigenia in Aulis. Like that's.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I do think that it was very creepy and very logical for him to like go to the school and be like, which kid is a better child? I'll kill the weaker one.
Like, I'm not a parent, so I cannot even imagine, but like, how do you make that decision? Do you get really logical? Like, what else do you do? Like, clearly he's not like, well, obviously it's going to be him, or obviously it's going to be her because they're my favorite and I have some special bond, and he seems to really love his kids, so he's being like, I can't really fault him for it.
Yeah.
He's just kind of accepting the reality of the situation.
Yeah. It's
but like you should kill your wife. Like I don't even like I'm sorry. Maybe
you would kill the wife?
A billion percent. A million billion percent.
How likely do you think it is that he'll find another woman who's into the same kinky shit that him and Nicole Kidman do?
You know what?
What Kate hasn't told you guys is that there's multiple sex scenes in which Nicole Kidman pretends to be an anesthetized patient.
I forget about that. Yeah, I blocked that out. Didn't like it at all.
I loved it. Loved it.
It's bad. It's very.
It fits with their shit. I'm here for it. It's creepy.
It does.
I love it.
She does it to like soothe him after he loses a patient.
So crazy.
Also important to know that I fucking hate it. This surgeon, which I have my beef with surgeons, don't we all? But this surgeon is like Colin Farrell's character is talking about early in the movie, like a surgeon can't kill a patient.
Yeah.
Only an anesthesiologist can.
Right.
And then his bestie, who's the anesthesiologist, the head one, is like, no, opposite.
Yeah.
So like neither of them are willing to acknowledge that they're human.
Yeah.
Like it's never their fault.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, I think that's the whole point is like.
Of course.
This idea of.
Ego.
Like accepting fault as a doctor, I feel like is really difficult, because when you make these decisions for people, it's like you almost have to compartmentalize the worry that you're going to fuck up. And the only way to do that is to almost live in denial about it. And so I think both of them live in denial about it.
They do. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And I'll talk about it. Because Ariana, you guys don't know this, but Ariana was like president of the surgery club in vet school. So even though she's not like cutting up things on the reg, she was like a surgery queen for like 4 years. She was a surgery tech and a major OR. So yeah, your girl's smart and knows a bit about surgery.
Now I don't fucking even do surgery at all. Look at me now.
You don't.
ER's the only part of freaking vet med that doesn't do surgery.
No, yeah, you did. You went to ER that literally don't.
The only one.
And I was like, I'm not doing that. And then look at me. I get to do random surgeries on the fly.
That's very nice.
Yeah, only if they can't afford for a surgeon to do them. And I'm like, well, guess I gotta figure this out. Here we go. So guys, I feel like Ariana and I do have like a unique perspective into like Steve's character in this movie. And how maybe that's not how I would have proceeded with a situation. And maybe a little bit of advice for if there's any other medical professionals and maybe don't do this, but we'll get there.
I do think there's a difference, though, between people, like the degree of how much of a life you hold in your hands when you're a cardiothoracic human surgeon versus like a veterinary surgeon, general surgeon, you know.
Not arguing that. No, I'm arguing that. This is literally the opposite of how you're supposed to handle the situation that he was in. And it went as horrible as it could have been. Yeah. So I guess I have some like HIPAA advice or like some how not to get sued and be a better doctor advice. But I'll save that for the end. Don't do this.
Maybe don't do this part.
You might. Your kids might have blood come out of their eyes. Speaking of.
Guess who has blood.
As a matter of fact. Guess what's happening. So Bob,
freaking Bob,
our son Bob, is now full bleeding Sonic XE style from its eyes, just blood. And Martin is like, yeah, I told you that would happen. So he's like going to die very soon.
Imminently.
Like presently.
Within hours.
Yeah, like it's on its way. And so like no time to fuck around, no time to call your principal and like make a pro-con list of who you're going to fucking kill. Yeah. The time has come. So... oh my God, this scene is so fucked up.
It's so great.
It's so dark. So Steve, everyone kind of knows what's going on at this point. So Steve and Kim, his daughter, Bob, his son, Anna, his wife, they're all sitting in a circle in the living room. Their wrists and I think their ankles are like wrapped up in duct tape.
Actually, no, the ankles are not because they can't walk anyway.
Oh, that's right. So it doesn't matter. Just your wrists. Yeah, paraparesis. So he goes around and he puts like sacks over their heads.
Yeah,
and
it's very executioner styles.
It's
in their
awful.
Living room.
And they like kind of accept it in their living room. Oh my God. And they just kind of accept it. And he covers their faces. And at this point, you're losing your mind because you're like, okay, he's made a choice. No, he hasn't.
Nope. I feel like I knew he was going to do what he did.
Oh my God.
I feel like I knew it.
I was not ready. He loads his rifle. Everyone's got like a beanie pulled over their head in the living room. And he full ass like spins in a circle.
Yeah, he's lucky he got on his third try because.
And fires at random. Yeah, yeah. So he's just like making this much harder than it has to be.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Can we draw straws? Wouldn't that have been easier?
Yeah, let's do something else. But he doesn't want. You know what? I don't think I would have done it this way. But I don't know. I'm not him. So
very theatrical.
Oh, Mike. But it is fair. Should I say
it's very fair.
But also kill your wife because your children are your children. And you should probably.
This is what I think.
She had her chance.
So he ends up shooting the little boy. So the boy's dead.
Yeah, it's awful.
But I think, like, you know, he shoots the little boy and the little boy's like kind of already fucked, right? Because like the little boy's gonna die in like a matter of hours regardless, you know? So it's like, I don't know.
I don't think it is regardless. I think that this is gonna be undone.
Also, you can explain away the kid dying because they were sick. And like, you can't really explain like your kids being sick and then like you kill your wife. And then what?
Again, that's you putting yourself before your children, which makes sense for this character because this character is an egocentric asshole.
It's just logic.
Oh my God, Ariana. I knew it was going to come to this.
It's the just head and the logic.
Heart, as per usual. Oh my
Kid's
God.
Kid's already fucked. You can't, he's sick, you know? What's it going to look like?
You're a monster. You would never.
Also, can we talk
you
about
would never.
The fact that, you know, the kid, the little boy, I feel like is probably his least favorite out of the three people, you know, because he really does. He confides in his wife. He is definitely like a, you know, the girl's a daddy's girl for sure.
For sure.
And the little boy, he has like a weird relationship with, like he does actively try to stuff donuts down his face because he's not eating. So it's kind of weird. It's like, okay, like this was his least favorite.
He's known him the least.
He doesn't like him.
That's what I thought. I'm like, okay, so you've known the little boy the least because he's the youngest. So I guess that makes sense. If you're being like,
that's very logical. Okay.
Where does my loyalty lie?
That's very logical.
This, as someone who grew up with siblings, that's what I'm thinking of. I'm like, of course. Typical. Your favorite.
Oh, it's such a weird.
But no, if it was me, I would have shot my husband in the face.
Yeah. Oh, really?
If it was me, like, I'm not even trying to be dramatic. I don't have to. I'm naturally dramatic. If I was with Nick and two random children.
Yeah.
I would probably kill Nick.
Really? Kids suck, though.
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
I'm not saying they don't suck, all right? No one's saying that.
Why do kids deserve to live more than adults inherently? Just because they're younger and they have more life ahead of them?
They didn't get a chance. I just feel like you didn't get a chance.
Okay.
And
they're younger.
I know if it was me and it was Nick and two random, like, grab a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old off the street, I'd be like, yeah, shoot me right in the head. Like, I got to go to prom. I got to do all this shit. Got to go to college.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I wish there was a way for him to get out of it by killing himself. I feel like that's the easy way to get out of it.
I know. That's that's too easy.
Yeah.
That's way too easy. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't work with the Greek metaphor that we're going to learn about later.
Metaphor. No, yeah. I think if it were me, I probably would, like, wait for someone to volunteer. And if no one volunteered, then I'd probably do, like, a... Well, the little girl volunteers, right? The little girl volunteers. Wait for someone to volunteer.
That means that you're going to pick her because she volunteered.
Wait for your wife to volunteer.
They're little kids.
The mom could be dying. Like, listen, that way you don't have to choose. The mom could be like, kill me, you know?
She's not going to, based on what I know of her character, is she's never going to volunteer. She can't wait for one of the kids to die. She cannot wait. She is so clearly relieved when Bob is dead. They all are. They're so relieved.
She secretly wants the daughter to die because she and the daughter have a weird relationship.
Well, who doesn't have a weird relationship with as a teenage girl with their mom? You know what I mean? My mom would probably shoot me too. So, you know what?
I don't know. I think me and my mom probably had an okay. I don't think my mom would have murdered me as a teen. Probably not.
No, she probably would have shot your dad in the face, and that's good.
Yeah, let's take a poll. This is going to be our next page.
This is
who
our next
are you gonna
poll.
Kill?
Guys, if you're interested,
who choose in your family who died. No.
Ariana has a penchant on the Patreon page for stirring up shit and asking horrific questions of our club members. But you know what? They're really fun. What was the last one? It was if you like becoming a fly.
Would you become a fly if it meant that you could fly?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know what? And the poll, it's split.
I'm surprised. I thought people would put yes, but most people said no. I don't know.
That's so weird. We'll see what they say about shooting their partner right in the
face.
Yeah,
it's like,
all
right,
who would you
who would you choose? Who are you going to kill?
Of these people particularly. Like, you get to know each of them. Like, is it Anna? Is it Bob?
Oh,
is it Kim?
Interesting.
That's what it is.
Okay, I like that one.
Yeah, like, you are Colin Farrell. You have the rifle and three beanies.
Wait, but doesn't that give it away, though? That gives away the movie. We don't like to give away the movie in the Patreon polls. That gives it away. We can't do that. We'll think of another poll for you guys for this movie.
Well, you guys think about that, all right? You think about that while you're going to sleep.
You let us know. Email us with who is dying from your face.
Send us your trauma. Thank you so much. Who dies? Anyway, so Martin has been released from the basement, by the way.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman released him prior to this scene.
Yeah, they let him go after after literally punching his teeth
out.
They're
like, we're not going to get anything out of this guy.
They're like, ooh, this looks bad. And I'm about to shoot someone in the head. So maybe you should run. Anyway, so they enter the same diner as always. And it's just the family minus Bob just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's It's weird. And then Martin just kind of like comes in,
saunters
acknowledges
in,
that
casual.
Does his head count, is like, got it. And then they all leave, meaning Kim is also walking out of the door, even though she's supposed to be paralyzed. So yeah, everything's is as it should be.
She's fixed. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when he comes in, I don't know if he's like doing a head count. I feel like he already knew who died at that point, and he was just like kind of like acknowledging them.
Then what's the point of this meeting?
I think it was just to show that like they just casually carried on and it was awkward. And they like still see each other sometimes.
They met at the diner where that he meets him. They were meeting at that diner. He was there.
Oh, interesting.
They were sitting there. They didn't have food. Like they were just kind of like, or like maybe they did, but they were just like,
they
sitting
did have
there
food because waiting. She was eating fries.
They did because the little girl was eating it.
She was eating fries because mm-hmm. she eats now. And also fries are a big symbol in this movie for some fucking reason. They talk about fries all the time.
Are they? Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah. The fries.
The fries of it all.
Anyway, we love this movie, right, Kate?
should we go ahead and give it a number?
I don't know. I feel like I want you to hear what I have to say first, and then you can decide if you like it. How
absolutely
how much
yes.
you like
you go
it
first. You go first.
How much you dislike it. Mm-hmm. I already feel like you're gonna give it
yeah,
8 out
sure.
of 10 plates of spaghetti, but
yeah, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Here you guys go. Let's do the thing.
She just rearranged herself in her chair. She is ready.
Let's do the thing, guys. I know you want me to fucking tell you all about this Greek fucking play. We've already talked to you about it. Obviously, the title is from this play by Euripides.
Yeah.
Iphigenia in Aulis. So let me tell you a fun little story.
Tell us some Greek mythology.
Yeah, we'll figure out the metaphors behind all of it at the end. So here you go. So we got King Agamemnon, the king of Mycenae, and his brother, King Menelaus, who's the king of Sparta. And King Menelaus's wife is the beautiful Helen of Troy, who is said to be the most beautiful woman to ever have existed. She's blonde. Basically, just picture Kate.
She's blonde. Okay. Oh, girl, that's like the nicest thing you've ever said to me. And I don't even think you meant to.
Every time there's a blonde person,
she
I'm always like,
just
picture.
She meant it as a diss, and it came out as a compliment, and she hates it.
I didn't mean it as a diss, no. See, I have to sprinkle in some nice, otherwise you won't be friends with me anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's true.
Anywho, so Helen, a.k.a. Kate,
yeah,
elopes
me.
With and or is abducted by a shepherd named Paris.
And or.
And King Agamemnon and King Menelaus are preparing to sail to Troy to get her back. But uh-oh, the winds suck. And they wait and wait for the winds to change, but they stay unfavorable. So they can never start their journey.
That's bad. That's a death sentence.
It's like, it is a death sentence, but it's also like, then just don't go to war. Okay? Maybe be patient. Maybe just don't go to war now. Maybe do it later. I don't know.
Maybe stop it.
Maybe it's fine.
Maybe cut it out.
But King Menelaus isn't getting laid with the most beautiful woman in the world. So this is extremely important.
Me. Yes,
because sex is obviously why everything happens.
Yes.
So Agamemnon, he gets impatient and he visits an oracle who tells him that the reason the winds suck is because he accidentally killed one of Artemis's sacred deer.
Oh, no.
OMG.
You shouldn't have done that. You done goofed.
Artemis is the virgin goddess of the hunt, in case mm-hmm. you guys are wondering, a.k.a. Diana, which is the Roman counterpart, if you're more familiar with Roman mythology than Greek mythology.
I didn't know that they were. Yeah, you're right. They're the same. Yeah. Same, but different.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked Artemis because she always looked like a badass and like always had like an eagle on her shoulder and shit.
Diana's the same person, though. They just call her different.
I know. I just, no one, you know, Diana's not as cool as Artemis. Just be real.
I don't know. I'm partial to Roman gods because I feel like I learned them first. And then the Greek gods I learned second. So I love calling people by their Roman names. But anyway, so
sure.
The oracle. I will call them by Greek, though, because Euripides is Greek and we're going to respect him.
And this movie is Greek, yeah.
Yes. So the oracle tells Agamemnon that the winds will remain unfavorable until he sacrifices his daughter Iphigenia in Aulis.
Dun, 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 dun.
So Agamemnon is obviously like, fuck that. But he consults his generals and his advisors, who are worried that if he doesn't do something soon, the Greeks will get more and more pissed and they may actually decide to come for him and kill his whole family.
Sure.
So to appease Artemis, Agamemnon ultimately sacrifices his daughter. Fun stuff. The end. LOL. We love Greek
tragedies. And he gets his winds and he goes to Troy and he kills some other people.
He basically does all of this so that he can go to war to get back a hot girl for his brother. You know,
that's literally what happens.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's totally fine. And there's like, it's very melodramatic in that story too, because like he like sends for his daughter to come under false pretenses and then like is like trying to send her secret notes like, no, but don't come because then I'll have to kill you. It's like, it's and then like Paris is interested in the, it's like, oh my God, such drama.
It's too much. It's too much.
So that's why I say loosely based. Like it's like the same structure, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like kill someone in your family or everyone dies because you fucked up and killed this other thing.
Yes. It's a tale of hubris. It's a, it's a tale of karma. Yeah, that was my other genre, hubris horror.
Fault, you know.
Like, and especially for like the original tale of Agamemnon, because he's like this huge general or whatever, and he's killing people on the reg, killing people's family members, and then he can't go to war. He can't fly to Troy because there's no wind. And he like, oh no, I have to kill my daughter, another person. And it's like giving me people who like only think about, oh, rape is bad because I have a daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
exactly
what Agamemnon is giving.
It's like, oh, wait, murder is bad because I'm upset.
Minute.
When it happens to me, it's upsetting.
Not me, though. That's and that's Colin Farrell's character in this whole movie is like,
you're right.
He has like some guilt, but suppressed guilt. And he continues to like drink and go to work and do surgery on people's hearts, like with blatant disregard for the fact that these are human beings.
No, he's sober.
Well, remember? After that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's sober at some point. He's sober the whole movie. But the implication is like he became sober because he was obviously drinking on the job and had a problem.
That's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is Kate's surgery happy hour, which is there are studies that show, like, I'll say this. If you are a surgeon.
That alcohol makes you a better surgeon. No, I'm just kidding.
That alcohol makes you really good at heart surgery.
Really good at surgery.
So there's this whole like I was taught this in vet school. So Ariana was too. But essentially, especially on the surgery rotation, where these people who are surgeons are doing surgery like 8 times a day or whatever. If like you are going to lose a patient, like that's not a question.
Well, yeah, if you do enough of them.
If you do enough of them, you will eventually lose a patient. That's what they taught me is like, if you haven't lost a patient, you haven't been doing that amount of surgeries. Like right. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It sucks. And no one wants it. But we are not gods. And we don't have a crystal ball. We do what we can with the information that we have on hand. And maybe I don't know you have like this hypercoagulable disease that's going to make you throw a clot after anesthesia. You know what I mean? We're not gods. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, and here's where I really take umbrage with how Colin Farrell's character acts in this movie. And I'm kind of like, yeah, fuck you, the whole movie. He's in denial the whole time that he did anything wrong.
Right, yes.
That pisses me off so much. And so what I was going to say to all our surgeons or nurses or whatever out there, if you have made a medical error, which is going to happen in your career, if that's your career, unless you're like a superhuman or like a robot, the best thing that you can do that will like the least likelihood of having like a malpractice claim, of getting, of upsetting the family or upsetting the victim or your patient, is to come forward immediately with your error, apologize for it, and learn from it. That is the absolute best thing that you can do. Even if it's your error, if you like goof, if you leave scissors in someone's abdomen, like you are less likely to be sued. If you go, oops, I left scissors in your uncle's abdomen.
Oops.
Let's just go back to surgery and get them out versus just like being like, I didn't see any scissors and going to bed and being like, not my problem.
Yeah.
So I have like no empathy for this guy. I hate him.
Right. Well, that's the problem. It's like, I think they leave it up very nebulous in regards to like the exact reason for this guy to have died, because at a certain point in the movie Nicole Kidman's character does go to the anesthesiologist and is like, was he drinking? Like, I need to know that, because that puts him at fault. Because you can say all day, like, these things happen. Like, it's, you know, it's not always going to be your fault. Some things are out of your control. But if you're drinking,
but if
then
you're
it's
drunk,
like,
that's negligence.
Maybe don't drink. Well, also, you're like, you know, admit your error and come clean and fix the problem.
Go to rehab.
And like, maybe he did. Maybe that was his low point and he became sober after that. But also, he didn't come clean and say, I've been drinking and I'm a surgeon. He would be, his license would be revoked and he would never be able to do medicine ever again. So, and he's clearly still doing it. So he never admitted the issue.
No, and the way he hides his relationship with Martin is weird. It's like, I will be there for you because of my guilt, but not to the point that it affects my life.
Not to the point. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he does bring Martin to visit his family. Like, he does.
He's kind
of that eventually.
To.
Yeah.
He's
but it is
to.
Hard.
He didn't do that on his own volition. He's not like trying to be a father figure. He's being a father figure where it benefits him and no one's looking.
Yeah.
For his himself, not for Martin, for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I think his relationship with Martin initially is to assuage his own guilt. And that's the only reason. Yeah.
Yes.
100%. And yeah, I mean, he's a fucking selfish guy. I mean, I just told you a story where Agamemnon wants to go to war so bad to get a hot girl back for his brother that he kills his daughter. Yeah. Like, could there be any more of a shitty priority situation? Like, obviously this is a flawed
pretty
character,
selfish.
You know, obviously there's some flaws
good.
Here.
It's bad.
Maybe not
we
good.
Like flawed characters though. Honestly, like you said, like
we
you keep
love
talking about Nicole Kidman's character. And I'm like, yeah, there's no character really like that I can think of. And
I love Nicole
she's
Kidman's
fascinating
character.
And she's, her acting is really good. And I love it. We like it.
Crazy. She's insane.
She's
so
nuts.
I'm upset because there was definitely a moment a few months ago where I was like, Kate, we should do a mythology poll. And this bitch was like, what other movies can you think of that is like a mythology, Greek mythology poll, except for The Lighthouse? Then we did Saltburn. Then we did fucking Killing of a Sacred Deer. And you've seen this movie and you knew it was Greek based.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I just didn't, you know what? You're just getting too comfortable and too confident. And I gotta humble you. I'm like, you listen here.
Kate's like, no, you can't have what you want. We're going to do The Fly.
We're going to do something silly.
We're going to do that 80s movie where that guy becomes a fly.
But I had seen this before and you hadn't.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's what I mean. You should have thought about this movie when I was like, I want to do
it came around, didn't it? It did not take long.
It did.
We haven't
Apricot
had
Turtle
anything
was
that
like,
wasn't Greek mythology in the
it's
last
time.
Like, yeah, it's time. If not now,
it's
when?
It's time.
Are you
it's
happy?
Time.
You happy, Ariana?
Yep.
Yeah, I knew
yep,
you would
I
be.
Am.
I knew you would be.
All right, so now's the part where I just like fucking word vomit everything I was
She's
thinking.
She's got a lot of feelings.
You ready? I have a lot of feelings, guys. Okay, so now we're going to compare this Greek story to our movie, obviously. Mm-hmm. So who is the sacred deer? Martin's dad is obviously the sacred deer. He's killed, and this sets off the chain of events. Stephen is our boy Agamemnon. We already said that. In the same way that we don't know whether Agamemnon's killing of Artemis's sacred deer was an accident or was hubris, and they leave that open in the play. They also leave that open in this movie. We don't know whether Martin's dad's death during the surgery was an accident or because Stephen was a little schwasty. We don't
probably,
know.
Probably, but like for, you know...
Probably the schwasty
for
thing.
Artemis doesn't really matter. The deer's dead.
Yeah, it don't matter. Yeah. So this leaves our Martin boy as our avenging god. I love it. I love it. The most confusing part of this movie and the most direct evidence for Martin's supernatural ability is when he temporarily gives Kim the ability to walk. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
He's like... At this point in the movie, we have no idea that this is going to take a supernatural turn or that there's going to be like supernatural implications. She's already lost the use of her legs.
Right.
And then he's randomly like walk to the window and she does. And he's not there, even though they just showed that he was there. So it's like he can just like appear and disappear at will. Like,
don't like it.
Like, it's just very, I don't know, very supernatural. Amazing. yeah. And then there's other things, obviously, that kind of support this idea that Martin's a god, which I feel like people disagree on. Like, some people will say, like, I know that you were kind of leaning maybe more towards, or at least you're looking for evidence to say that, like, he was poisoning them, because I know you, like, listed out the gifts that he gave the family.
Yeah.
Like,
why do they have this?
How does he do this? Yeah. How does he poison them? Well, he gives them gifts. Okay, sure. If we're going to say this is like a realistic thing,
well,
sure.
It doesn't even have to be. It could be realistic in the terms of like, this is like some sort of like biochemical attack, and like he's laced these items specifically with something chemical, like some compound, or you can think of it like some like evil talisman. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. It can still be supernatural.
It could be a curse.
He gave it
could
to them
be
for
a poison.
Reason.
He did. Yeah. I do think a lot of this movie, though, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, is very much like a transactional thing. Like, it's like, let me express my feelings for you by providing a gift to you and not expressing them emotionally, verbally.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I think, you know, there's a lot of gift giving in this movie. So like, for me, that's what the point of this movie was, is like this gift giving thing that they just all are doing for each other for reason.
Like credits and debits, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Like a balance. Yeah,
so
I hear it. Yeah.
I think if the thing that also made me feel like he was a god was when Anna was like about to release him and she was like cleaning his wounds and she started like kissing his feet, which is like a very religious, very ritualistic thing to do. And I feel like Anna was always on board with this idea that like Stephen fucked up. This is karma. This is fate coming for
Stephen.
You know,
didn't tell
Stephen.
Her anything. She knew it from watching.
She figured it out.
Yeah.
She got the information she needed by doing things that are unspeakable that we'll talk about a little bit later, I guess. But the last thing that I thought was cool that is probably like a huge leap, but whatever. So, you know, the part when Kim is like falling in love with Martin and she like gets naked and like lies on the bed and she's like, let's fuck.
She
and
does
like,
the thing
nah.
that her mom does, which is. Bleh.
Yeah. She's like, I'll pretend to be under anesthesia if you want to fuck me.
Ew.
And he's a 16-year-old boy looking at a 14-year-old girl's naked body. And then he's just like, nah. And he like leaves.
Bye.
So it's like a very random, weird reaction to have to a girl throwing herself at you. So this is my theory. Okay. Maybe he says no because Artemis is not only the god of the hunt, but she's also a goddess of virginity. And there's so many stories in Greek mythology where men and gods are like trying to get with Diana/Artemis. Like they're constantly trying to fuck her and talking to her about her virginity, because that's like a big part of who she is like a virgin goddess. Like she doesn't need a man. She's in the woods. She's fucking hunting. And I think that could be a reason why they did this, but it could also be anything else. You know, I just thought that was cool.
I think it makes sense. It does. Because it doesn't benefit him. And that's not the point of all of this.
Right.
You know, like he's not like just some opportunistic human. He's like, this is the balance that I need.
Yeah. Like he's not doing this for almost like reasons.
Human reasons.
Like human reasons.
Biological
like,
reasons.
I want to fuck you. It's more like he's a god. He's here for one mission, and that's to avenge and to make things equal.
No more, no less.
Yeah. Very cool. I like that part.
Yeah.
Anyway, So what's great about this movie is that the setting is in the normal modern world, and then otherworldly shit is happening. And like we kind of talked about, this movie is supposed to take place in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
They could not have chosen a more average American place to live.
Yeah.
Like, and this is as someone who used to live in Ohio. Ohio, like, is a weird place because it's not fully claimed by the Midwest. It's not fully claimed by the Northeast or the Mid-Atlantic. But it has characteristics of all those regions. And I feel like it identifies as almost like its own thing.
Yeah.
Because it's so much an average of everywhere around it. And this is something that I told people when I lived in Ohio because I thought it was so cool. So like Ohio has cities where the demographics are as close to the average American demographics, like in the United States. And so companies will literally go to Ohio and start their company in parts of Ohio to like kind of use their success to decide whether or not they want to put the effort in to go national.
Yeah, Cincinnati's big for
because
that. Yeah.
It's literally like the most average place you
pilot.
Could be in America.
It's a good test run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So I feel like this idea of like everyday average American family is a direct opposition to the behavior of the characters in this movie, which is so cool. Like it just almost highlights it.
It does.
Like we've talked about, they have this like weird alien emotionless like affects, and everyone in the family has it. Like Martin has it too. Alicia Silverstone, not really. But it's just like the main characters in this movie. She's emotional.
She ain't right though.
No, yeah, she's definitely not right, but she's emotional. She's not awkward like the rest
sure,
of them.
Sure, sure, sure. She's awkward in a different way.
Yeah. So these people are detached. They're emotionless. It's all, like I said, you know, like transactional. Mm-hmm. Like none of these characters have normal reactions to anything of the disturbing shit that's happening around them.
Yeah, right. Like you and I my would favorite, act. Yeah.
Exactly. Like my favorite part, Ed, this is why I fucking love Nicole Kidman's character so much, is the part where like she's in the hospital and they just did like so many neuro tests on this kid and he's normal and he's walking again. And then the kid fully collapses again in the middle of the hospital. And she just like calmly looks around and she goes, excuse me, we need some help here. Thank you. Yeah. Like
she's just very,
she's not,
I'm like, do you know,
she's
this
not
boy?
Looking at the kid.
Your son?
She's not like, oh my God, are you okay? Like, what happened? Like,
no.
Help, I need help. Like, it's no emotion. She's just like, we're going to need some help. Thank you.
Yeah. It's so intense. Like, they could have done it the other way. You know, like, just how a mom would
hysteria.
Act, how a dad would act. But that's boring. We've seen that. This is its own thing.
It's insane. It's insane. And that's why I like the way they have sex, because I do think that is very much them as people. Their sex is completely devoid of emotion to
it
the point where
not
she
emotional.
Literally pretends to be passed out under anesthesia with zero movement, zero interaction, and this is their kink. It's fucking hilarious.
No disrespect. Yeah. This is your thing, but make sure your therapist knows about it.
Kate, don't kink shame.
I'm not. Just make sure your therapist knows about it, and aftercare is a thing.
And make sure both people are into it, too.
Yeah. Just because you're pretending to be anesthetized doesn't mean you can't have a safe word.
Enthusiastic consent is important.
Yes. Ugh. Ick. Ick.
So they're not using speech to convey their emotions. They're just using these transactions. Like, Steven is gifting a watch to Martin in an attempt to, like, partially buy his forgiveness.
Yeah.
And even this scene where, I love this scene, where, and I don't know if we talked about it, but...
The watch strap?
No, that's good too. But I was talking about like the part where Anna goes to his anesthesiologist friend and
she's
like trying to get info from him. And he's like, what will I get? What will I get in return?
Oh yeah,
and
I left that out. Damn it. You know,
gets what? The emote. She gets what she needs and then gives him a hand job.
Transactional, like in the parking lot of the hospital. And this is like a lifelong friend of them. Like they were having a barbecue earlier. Like what the fuck?
This is like a family friend. Like it's her husband's best friend. Insanity. But I do feel like if this movie had characters with like normal reactions and dialogue, it would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
And it would make this movie more of like a drama and a thriller and less of like a horror movie. I think a lot of the horror movie components, at least until the end where there's like true psychological horror, is coming from this absent emotion and like transactional attitudes. And I feel like it does like elevate this movie to something more and more complex than if these people had just normal run of the mill, you know,
relationships,
everyday emotions.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I agree.
Love it so much.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to keep going, guys. So what are the major themes and lessons from this movie
and from
the play that we talked about? What did we learn? So the themes, sacrifice, atonement, guilt, fault, fate, hubris, the usual Greek mythology shit.
Greek
we're here
bullshit.
For it all.
As for you.
I do like this Alicia Silverstone, like, scene where she talks about how clean his hands are and how surgeons' hands are all clean and how her late husband thought that too. And then she literally, like, sucks on them. But also, I feel like this whole dialogue is, like, meant to show, like, society's views of doctors and how they're perfect and flawless.
Oh, no, yeah, 100%. Surgeons specifically, yeah, I would say. But, like, as, like, gods.
Yeah. When a person dies during surgery, who does society blame? Is it the surgeon's fault? Is it the anesthesiologist? Is it just bad luck? Is it chance? Was it going to happen anyway? Are doctors held accountable? I feel like these are important things to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then obviously we have this idea that, you know, with guilt and fault, this idea of blood on the hands and clean your hands of the, you know, wash your hands of this. Like, I do think that this specific dialogue and the reason she's like
your hands
really
are so
fixated
clean
on his hands is almost to make the guilt
worse,
more highlighted, mm-hmm, for him.
It's like, no, there aren't, yeah, actually. They're very dirty, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah. Insane. And I know, Kate, we've been talking about, like, hubris and how that's a big part of this movie. Definitely, obviously. And hubris is, like, the number one thing Greeks like to talk about. So, of course, Steven is a surgeon. And not only that, but he's a freaking cardiothoracic surgeon. So, like, no one
so
plays,
you know,
God more
sucks
than surgeons. Right? So, like, someone could just say the fact that you're a surgeon at all is hubristic, first of all, because you're changing things that, you know, people would have died,
yep,
especially with the heart.
Playing God.
And if that's not enough, this guy fucking drank before surgeries. So, like,
bro,
that is, if the surgeon thing is not enough to convince you, the fact that a surgeon is drinking, that's like a fucking whole nother level of hubris.
And I wish it was like a, not a common thing, but we're finding out, yeah, more and more as we're holding doctors more and more accountable for their bullshit because of Dr. Death.
Yeah.
And famous, yeah, cases like that. Like, substance abuse is a real thing in the medical community.
It's a real thing.
Yeah. 100%. And no one wants to acknowledge it because no one wants to get sued. And that's the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
I do think it's a big part of, like, people wanting to live in a world where they can trust people and almost living in denial.
Yep. Medicine is magic. The doctors know, yeah, everything. Everything's going to go as planned. And that's just not the truth.
It's really scary because it's like, if
it is scary,
if you come to terms with the fact, yep, that your doctors are people, you're living in a world where you're trusting a literal human to cut you open. And that's scary.
An absolute stranger.
Yeah.
Yep.
Insane. Well, I think that the last thing I'll kind of talk about, you know, I love, this is my favorite, I love that Anna doesn't spend a lot of time trying to figure out how Martin is coordinating all of their deaths. She's not like, how are you,
yeah,
doing this?
It's not important.
Are you poisoning us?
We don't care.
She doesn't. She's a doctor. She's not curious. She doesn't give a fuck. She just accepts it when she learns that her husband fucked up. She's like, yep. She's, mm-hmm, like, this makes sense. She trades a hand job to her husband's best friend for the information of whether or not my husband is at fault.
Yeah.
And that's what her goal is. She's like, is he,
yep,
at fault? And once she finds that he's at fault, she's like, okay, this is what's got to happen.
Yep.
And even, you know, Steven at the end of the movie, he accepts his fate. And this is why he does this, like, horrible, you know, spinning in a circle thing. He basically gives that back to
fate,
where he's like, you know, I'm not even going to choose. It's not even
going
to be me.
Control.
It's going to be fate that chooses, because this is all, what this is out of my control. And so I'm going to leave it out of my control. And that's why he's just, like, spinning in a circle and shooting randomly. I thought that was a genius storyline.
Yeah.
I thought that matched perfectly. I think if he had just, like, killed his daughter because his daughter was like, like, kill me, like, I sacrificed,
yeah,
myself,
boo,
which she did say, like, it wouldn't have hit the same. Like, I do think that this is such a deep, penetrating metaphor. It's just like, it's got its claws and everything. I'm here for it.
I think you're gonna really love The Lobster is all,
yeah,
I'm gonna say.
I'm excited that there's another movie that I can watch that's similar to this. I'm excited.
Same director and writers as this movie. Yeah, you're gonna really like, you should look up everything that this director has done, because you're gonna like it.
Oh my god, yes. Well, maybe we should have a poll with just this guy, all of his stuff
with what's his name, Yorgos Lanthimos.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's so Greek. He's so Greek.
He lives in Athens. Like, he's full-ass Greek. I love that.
Oh, that's amazing.
My daddy is Irish and my mama is Greek. And so we don't get a lot of Greek representation in horror.
That's true. You don't.
So we love it.
Yeah.
I like it.
That is awesome. This
Greek
guy
writers.
Lives in, oh my God, I can't even believe that.
Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking dope.
The last thing I'll say, guys, is there's a few things I don't understand about this movie. And I want you guys to explain them to me because I feel like you guys probably have really deep thoughts about
answers.
These things. Like, I want you to email us and or if you're on the Discord, post on the Discord and explain these things to me. Okay, you ready? Three things.
I'm ready.
I feel like smoking plays a big role in this movie and I feel like everyone does it and they all talk about it and they're all like picking up the habit. They're talking about
it.
I don't understand. I feel like there's something there. I feel like there's a reason. I feel like it's a symbol for something. I don't get it. I want somebody to explain it to me.
Yeah. Someone tell
There's
us.
Something deep there. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, there's some deep shit going on here. I don't know. But something we didn't say, a part of this movie was when Steven is still in denial that his son actually has something wrong with him. And he thinks it's that his son cannot walk or will not walk. He picks up his son.
It.
Drags him through the hallway and he basically tells his son, like, he's trying to get his son to confess to him that he's lying about his legs not working. And he says a story where he goes, I will tell you a secret and then you tell me a secret.
Oh my God.
And whoever's secret is worse wins. So he tells his son that he, as a child, went into his dad's room and jacked off his dad while his dad slept. And we didn't talk about that because, like, why does he bring this up? What the fuck is that about?
We gotta get, I don't know, Freudian and weird with it.
Is it just the shock factor and we're watching a horror movie and they want to fuck with you? Like, does
That's
this somehow tie into his
that.
Psyche or his personality
as like the most desperate attempt to get the son to like spill the beans and to tell the truth. That's just
like
desperate bid.
I know. I just feel
I don't know anything deeper than that. I hear you though. I hear you. There has to be something to it because it's the way that everything else in the movie works, but I don't know what it is. You're right.
I know. There's something to that.
Tell us.
Understand. You guys tell me things. So
tell us.
The last thing I'm confused about is, and Kate, you probably have some insight on this maybe. Is there a sexuality between Steven and Martin?
I didn't get that at all.
Because when Steven is knocking on Martin's door and he's hysterical, he says that he will fuck Martin and his mom just like he wanted.
I think that's just like a thing that people say when they're like road ragey, like
pissed.
Yeah. Like people say crazy shit. Like I don't want to say the things that people say, but I think it's like a threat. I don't think it's like a romantic.
But it's weird that he said
threat,
it like he didn't say I'm going to fuck you up. He just said, I'm going to fuck you and your mom like you wanted, which is so weird.
Toxic men say that not in a sexist, not in like a sexual way, but in a power way.
In like a, maybe
like,
it's
who
a
do you think you
dominance
are?
Way.
I am above you. I will fuck you. Like I am way above you.
Okay.
The fuck do you think you are? You want me to fuck your mom? Well, I'm going to fuck you both.
Interesting.
It's a threat. Yeah.
Okay. I just felt like at the beginning of the movie, I just got such a vibe that there was like that they were like fucking or something. Like,
no, I got like a father son vibe, especially with him like trying to set him up with the mom. Yeah, I got it as like a I killed your dad, so I have to be your dad figure. I got daddy guilt.
Yeah.
I got daddy guilt. I didn't get anything romantic, sexual, nothing. They do not have like tension. He seems very uncomfortable anytime that Martin is around. Everything is like. He has to do it. Like, everything's forced with Martin. I don't feel like he's ever comfortable with him.
Okay.
And Martin, like you mentioned, like the virginity aspect, Martin is a very childish figure.
Yeah, you're right. He is. You're right. I was just like, did I miss something? Is this an implication that I feel like there's more evidence for that I missed? But yeah, I agree.
No, and if you think of it, if you think of the Greek mythology of it all, it's like Artemis isn't romantically involved. She's just like, okay.
Right. I guess if we're going to assume that this is like,
he is Artemis.
This is the thing. Right. Then I guess you're right. 100%. 100%. And I do think it is a dominance thing. You convinced me. For sure.
Yay, I got one. Yes. The other two, I don't know. Everyone else explain.
We don't know.
The smoking, help. I don't know.
Help.
Please help.
Yes. Well, I mean, I can give you a number, Kate, if you want a number.
I think we know it, but tell us anyway. Give us your score.
I feel like I want you to use plates of spaghetti, so I won't use that one.
It's our, yes, don't take that from me.
I
okay.
won't take
Thanks.
That. Love you. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10 feeding tubes.
Ew! 10 out of 10. You never do that. But obviously. I saw it coming, girl.
Obviously.
I saw it coming.
We all knew it.
Yeah, obviously.
This movie has everything.
Screams, Ariana.
Greek mythology. It has crazy, consistent, psychopathic characters. It has Barry Keoghan. It has fucking Nicole Kidman. It has awkward children singing aggressively mediocre.
Me, 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 me.
I'm here. It has an overture. I'm here for it.
It does have an overture. It's giving
shit.
Antichrist in all the ways that she
it
likes.
It is. It is.
I know.
You're right.
I know.
Well, Kate, I'm interested to hear and to
she's
be
horrified.
Correct when you say what you're going to say. So
she's
go ahead.
Upset. She's already upset.
How
all
many?
Right. I've seen this movie before. I think it really boils down to the $3.99 versus $8.99. Do I rent it or do I buy it? And I already kind of spoiled it. I decided not to buy it. I rented it. But this was my third time watching this movie.
Oh, I thought you'd only watched it once.
Which Ariana
before.
Didn't know. Mm-mm. I've seen this movie three times. I actually really, really like this movie.
Wait, did you watch it like a week ago and then watch it like a more recent?
No, I watched it back when it came out like in 2017. And then like I revisited it, trying to show it to Nick, trying to show it to some friends. And then I watched it for the pod. And I'm not going to watch it again. That was enough.
Really?
That was plenty.
I'm going to watch it thousands more times. I'm going to show it to everyone I know.
You haven't watched it three times. Yeah, three times is a lot. Like watching these bitches drag their little bodies across the floor for like 30 minutes in the movie. It's great the first time. It doesn't have a ton of rewatchability for it beyond three times. It does have rewatchability, but then I'm like, goodbye. That was a great movie.
There's
that
a
I
limit.
Watched.
The limit exists.
Yeah, there's a strong limit. So for
gotcha.
Me, this is a solid 9 out of 10 bowls of spaghetti.
Yes! Yeah.
Bitch, I like this movie. I've been keeping that for a long time.
I know.
I like this movie. I have recommended this movie.
You're a Greek myth nerd. I know you.
I'm a Greek girly.
You are.
And also, I know that like I need to understand like 10% of it to sound smart. And then Ariana just like fills in the rest of it. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Kate's like Agamemnon, though, and I'm like, LOL.
I did. I was getting cocky. Ariana would text me. She's like, wait, you're not supposed to know that there's Greek mythology. I'm like, you think I don't know Agamemnon? Although my mom was really into that shit. She really
fucking
was.
Agamemnon. That's a great story, Agamemnon. Though. It's a great story.
It's a great name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We don't forget that name. Yeah. It's seared into
Agamemnon?
Our brains forever.
Yeah. I'm like, why does this... spaghetti slurping boy remind me
wow.
of something I learned in 10th
grade. It really got you.
I did not like the spaghetti. So anyway,
oh
on to the scoreboard.
Yeah.
All right, boys, girls, and everything in between, go to nightlighthorrormovieclub.com/scoreboard. This is where we rank every single movie we've seen. It's ugly, so just get over it. Now, where are we going to put
it? It's cringe. Oh, this is going to be top
this
10 for me.
Cringe.
Kay, I know
top
you don't want to do that.
I can't
yes.
let you do that.
Okay.
No.
Where would you put it if it was just you? And then we'll do the average. How about that? That
okay,
makes it easy.
I'm comparing it to Saltburn, and I think Saltburn is better.
You think Saltburn is better? I do not. I think that this is better than Saltburn.
Silence of the Lambs. That's number 11.
I think this is better than Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, no.
For me. It's my shit. It has Greek shit in it. I'm loving it.
I know. I thought I was going to get along with you. I really did.
Yeah.
Repo, no. The genetic opera. 13.
This is so much better than Repo, obviously.
Ew!
Obviously. No. Obviously.
All right, you know what? Fine. You just put it where you want to fucking put it. Let's just cut the shit, all right? You put it, yeah, she's getting all comfortable now because she knows she gets what she wants.
Interesting.
Yeah. Listen, well, I've twisted your arm so many times.
Did you say you like Saltburn better?
Yeah, I really do.
Okay. Well, how about I give you that and we'll put it below Saltburn. One below. They can be buddies because Barry Keoghan wants to be buddies with himself.
You say that as if I won't notice that you're knocking Rocky Horror Picture Show out of 10. And I did notice that, actually.
What, are we just never going to change the top 10 then? Because that's always going to knock Rocky Horror out.
No, I'm just saying it's hard to break. It's tough. We have 121 movies now.
I know.
What can I do? Do I need to give you a hand job in the hospital parking lot?
Do you want me to put it below Rocky Horror?
Would you mind?
Let's do that. Yeah.
Just like for my heart and soul, if that's okay. Let's do it.
It's okay.
Like, which one do I want to be like the top 10 and like look back at? Not this.
I think that
it happened and it hurt. I don't want to think of it again.
I think Martin, Barry Keoghan and Anthony Hopkins would be buddies. So we can put him next to Silence of the Lambs.
100%. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's his like bastard son. Like, let's be real.
100%. Or grandson. Hundo maybe.
Yeah. Martin Lecter. Yeah. Is that? That's what they said at the end, right? That was the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Then he went and he ate the little boy. It was great.
Oh my God. And then he ate the little boy.
What if they just like fucking trashed like everything they had planned, all the art they had done, and then he just eats the kid? That would get it higher up in my
that
book.
That would be like a Terrifier 2 moment. That just feels like something Terrifier yeah. 2 would do. Just like something absolutely fucking nuts.
And then we eat him. Yeah, of course.
Oh my God.
I can accept number 11 out of 121. That's pretty fucking good. All right.
Amazing.
I'm being nice. And you're being nice. Thank you. Thanks Yay. For letting me keep Rocky Horror in the top. It's important emotionally for me. Thank you.
I know it is.
Ariana's like, I don't need you to have a mental breakdown over this. So we'll just.
Yeah. And like, you know, I understand this movie is like my shit. And that's why I like it so much. Like, I get that it isn't everyone's cup of tea. So I get it.
But it is like. Objectively great. It's really good.
I think it's objectively great, and it's also my shit.
It's definitely your shit. Do not watch The Lobster without me.
Ooh.
Do yeah. not watch
we'll put it on our
without
list.
Me, okay?
We'll put it on our list. Yeah.
We have a little girls weekend coming up, and I've got some movie ideas and video game ideas. Guys, tell Ariana to
take
play a horror video game with me.
Everyone take a shot. Kate's trying to make me play a video game.
Just one, okay? Just one. All right. I downloaded a bunch of really cool horror video games. This one's called The Closing Shift. And you're like, it's like a J horror video game. It's like 10 minutes long. It's very easy, except for you will be stalked and you have to like, you know, not die.
By the slash bringing hash, whatever.
The hash slinging slasher.
She's describing it to me. I'm like, it sounds like the hash slinging slasher from SpongeBob.
I had no idea it was literally an episode of SpongeBob that I'm like, we should play this. Well, you know what? We're going to. And I hope you guys too do the same thing. I'm going to post all of my, I have like a whole horror video game haul that I bought today. So I can't wait to share that with the club.
Oh, that's nice.
And you as well, because you're going to be playing them. So if you guys have any suggestions, like maybe we do like a stream of Ariana playing horror video games, for example.
You guys don't want to see that. I promise.
I want to see that very badly. Anyway, if you have any fun little suggestions like that, hit us up. It's nightlighthorrormovieclub@gmail.com. Also, Ariana's sexy website she made for us, nightlighthorrormovieclub.com. That's where you find our scoreboard. And this is where I put my hands together and I beg, hey, do you like us? We like you. We need ratings and reviews so that we stay relevant and people like us. So please rate us. 5, preferably. Love you so
rate
much.
Us, maybe not a 1, though.
Maybe not in a nice
unless
way.
You really feel that way. Then express yourself.
Unless you do, in which
you.
Case, yeah, we support you. Yeah. But yeah, we love you. And we're going to go play some horror video games against Ariana as well. So stay spoopy.
Stay spoopy.
When the lights started out, they don't know what they heard. Strike the match, playing loud, giving love to the world. We'll be raising our hands, shining up to the sky, 'cause we got that fire, fire, fire. Yeah, we got that fire, fire, fire. And we're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn. We're gonna let it burn, 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 burn.